Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
I don't think I've ever said this in the history of this show. I think we need to take a break. Because I don't know what's next. If I just keep riling him up, I don't know where we go next. Are you ready? Ready to rock? It's another edition of KFC Radio on the Barstool Sports Network. Shout out to the chicken heads.
Not over the top at all.
Subtle. Subtle reference to the chicken heads. Shout out to all the chicken heads out there.
Speaking of subtle, and this is kind of fucked up of you, if I may say. You haven't mentioned my shirt today yet.
I hate all your shirts.
This shirt's sick.
That one I don't necessarily hate. What is SERC in DC?
Don't know. This is a shirt. I think my new rule.
I do hate all your shirts, but that shirt's not that bad.
I think my new rule is if I would watch the movie that the shirt, the story of this, if I would watch the movie of the story the shirt is telling, I buy that shirt. It's a nice way to ruin all my what do you call it? My pull in the film critic community and my wardrobe at the same time.
Yeah,
this is a polar bear fighting a dolphin on New Year's Eve at the Rock.
So we're in a post 9/11 world. A couple years after 2003, it's New Year's on Alcatraz. What's on the? You guys a wristwatch?
Oh yep. It's probably and sunglasses. Yeah, goggles. Sure. It is 15. Nope. Oh, yeah. No. 51 degrees.
This is saying a lot. This is your dumbest shirt yet.
Yeah, it's so sick.
And he's fighting
a dolphin.
A dolphin,
which isn't fair. A polar bear would keep. We've done polar bear versus shark.
Would massacre a dolphin.
Polar bear be a dark.
A polar bear would massacre like a pod of dolphins.
But can you
like
picture
a ton
like
of dolphins? Like 10, 12 dolphins would get massacred by a polar bear.
Dude, I saw this shirt this weekend, and I was like, I just immediately was like, fuck. Can you like? I was picturing like a
how much does this one cost?
Cheap. Yeah, I went to a different vintage store of SLCT.
Did you realize you were buying expensive garbage clothes instead of cheap
this
garbage clothes?
This is all well-priced vintage stuff. But I was like, holy shit, that's a...
No, I like it.
It's like...
I like that
But like, you think like a black tie event happening while this fucking war goes on of an oversized polar bear and oversized dolphin fighting?
And they're fighting each other with paddles?
Yeah. Cirque DC, which is probably like a Yale fucking Skull and Bones type club.
Probably.
They're both members of secret societies.
We painted a whole picture here. I feel like the polar bear is kind of like king of that like that secret society world, and along comes this new dolphin. He swims up from warm waters, and now he's in the area, and all of a sudden this dolphin's making waves, literally and figuratively, but the polar bear is kind of like, who's this fucking new kid on the block? And it's this
the
dolphin.
Dolphin's like, what the fuck's this polar bear doing in San Francisco?
Right. And he's he's not even realizing that he's like disturbing the ecosystem here. He's like, I'm just here, I don't want to cause any problems, but all of a sudden he's like the fucking man. He's got the power of the people behind him. All the other wildlife in that area are backing the dolphin, and the polar bear knows that it's a problem, so he's got to take this dolphin out.
And
is this the dolphin's pussy or something?
Yeah.
That's just a hole in the dolphin.
That's just a hole. Yep, no, that's its pussy, for sure.
Is that where dolphin pussies are? Probably.
Always. Yeah,
always, exclusively. It's not like dolphin pussies move around.
Unless they were born in toxic waters, the pussy is always down there. Yeah, but then like something happens at the New Year's Eve party. Like once the clock strikes midnight, like Ed Harris was there the whole time, and he's fucking shit up.
Okay,
and then
so this is actually during the Rock.
Yeah,
you think that like the Rock?
No, Ed Harris is just still hanging.
He just stays there.
He just Ed Harris has in his contract he only films on Alcatraz. So anytime there's a movie happening in Alcatraz, Ed Harris is in it.
What a movie!
An all time great.
It's almost surprising that John Cusack's not in it. Because...
That's the kid right there!
Because I do associate The Rock and Con Air together. There's certain movies in my life, I think of Independence Day and Jurassic Park as, like, together.
Well, that's not it. Oh, wait, yes, it is. You're right. And then it's Armageddon and Deep Impact.
I'm not even talking about, there are movies that are literally the same, plot.
But
Deep Impact and the other one with... It's not Armageddon. It's another one. There's one with Morgan Freeman as like the president. But then there's something else besides that that's not Armageddon. But yes, you're right.
I think it's Armageddon Deep Impact.
Okay.
It's an asteroid hitting Earth.
Right. I guess it probably is that, yeah. But just certain movies that, like, I don't know why. It's just like almost like a Rorschach test where it's just like these things are, you know, you spit them out and they're in my brain together. Maybe it's because they came out similar time or I saw them around similar time. But to me, Con Air and The Rock go together.
Yeah, they're very – definitely. That's a fair
– And that mid-90s rock action, like, genre, you know? Like, there's a lot – You guys are so bad at keeping the KFC radio logo on the
computer. For some reason, I kept looking. Do you notice I kept looking at it?
Yeah, it drives me. And sometimes they have the screensaver on, and it's like, we just started.
Yeah.
It's one thing when we run long and it's 2 hours in. Let me let you know on a little secret. The screensaver on this TV starts 2 hours in if it's been idle for 2 hours. So sometimes we run long, and then it kicks in. I can't blame them for that. We just started. And we've got, like,
just had
weird...
a two-hour-long interview.
Yeah, but we just started this
but we
recording.
Restarted.
I know, but I'm not gonna re. I didn't.
Why not?
Because I didn't. It wasn't. It was fine.
So that mid-90s period was just. I know it's an old person thing to say, like they don't make them like they used to. But both music and movies, I really don't think they make them like they used to.
I go through it very often. I go through a phase. I tweeted it one time probably during the start of the pandemic. I tweeted like, I am on a fucking tear of mid-90s, early 2000s, decent to okay action movies.
And they're amazing.
And they're all
decent to okay to amazing.
That's one way to describe them to get what you want.
Right.
But they're unbelievable.
Right.
They're great. Proof of Life.
Great.
Tears of the Sun.
Terrible, but awesome.
The Siege.
Yes.
Under Siege and the Siege, I get confused.
Under Siege is the Seagal one from like the 80s.
The Siege,
early 90s. The Siege. Like early.
The Siege with Denzel, Willis. Like that one fucking awesome.
But I'll go ahead and throw Steven Seagal in there if you want to get nuts.
Under Siege. I don't care for Seagal.
Under Siege and Passenger 99, I think was. No, that was Wesley Snipes. But God, see, there's a golden era of them, you know?
You like U.S. Marshals. That's a legitimately good one, though. That's like The Fugitive.
The one with Morgan, with Samuel Jackson and I think Ben Affleck. Shout out.
Some of All Fears?
Yes.
Oh.
Great one.
Ben Affleck, one of the this is coming from a person from Boston, so you know it's from a place of truth. One of the all-time underrated actors, Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
I mean,
great.
He only got one run as Jack Ryan. He'd been a great Jack Ryan. Mm-hmm. Never seen him as Batman, but I bet he's a great Batman.
Awesome.
Great Batman.
No, he's pretty good. You know what he is? He's a great Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Like
when
he puts on not a costume, what's it called? Suit? Bat suit? He's not like that convincing.
Yeah.
But as Bruce Wayne, like the Playboy, it kind of fucking works because he's Ben Affleck.
We're kind of bouncing around. We're going to get to what we're going to get to. We're clearly going to talk about White Sox today momentarily, but I want to say something real quick. Speaking of Ben Affleck, I saw Casino Royale this weekend. Not Casino Royale, the new Bond, No Time to Die. It is so funny to see how much the world has changed since that movie was shot.
Why it was shot a long time ago?
It was like the first or second movie. It's either Fast 9 or that were like the first and second movies to be like, we're done for the pandemic. Like, this was supposed to come out like March 15th.
Got it.
Like they were,
it was the day
we shut down, that movie was supposed to release.
Got it.
Kind of deal. And because Knives Out had come out Christmas 2019.
Daniel Craig got his fucking.
No, Ana de Armas. Ana de Armas wasn't Ana de Armas when this movie was shot.
So Ana de Armas and Daniel Craig are both in Knives Out and James Bond. Interesting.
Yeah. But Ana de Armas is all over the trailer, all over the posters.
But she's not really in the movie?
This isn't a spoiler alert. I mean, it is a spoiler alert, but like, whatever. I'm telling you. She doesn't die, but she never changes clothes in this movie. That's how little she's in this movie.
You see one outfit.
She wears one dress.
Yeah.
she is in one scene. She wears one dress. She's everywhere. She's on posters.
That's awesome.
Because she went from... nobody. I've never heard of Four Knives Out.
I hope that
she's dating Ben Affleck.
She's
a mega
star. Like, if you're using us in the trailer, you're gonna fucking retroactively pay us. Like,
dude,
the
James Bond's fucking love interest is. I didn't know who
not
that.
They are.
I was like, who the fuck is this person? And she's been in other Bond movies, and it's been, you know, kind of a bit of a. It was really one of the lacking storylines of the Daniel Craig era, but the she's not in the trailer. I forgot she was even in this movie because Ana de Armas. No, I think she's a French actress. I don't really know her.
Is Daniel Craig considered a good... Do people like him?
Yeah. Oh, a good Bond?
Yeah.
I think most people consider him the best Bond ever.
No.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I read an article on it. Like,
no.
I think he is, too. And I know it's coming from a person where, like, I loved Pierce Brosnan. I've seen a few of the Connerys. I've seen a few of the other people. So mm-hmm. people are going to call it, like, it's obviously a biased thing.
Yeah.
But Daniel Craig brought a kind of like a darkness and intrigue to James Bond that he'd just kind of been like the playboy. And it was like he made him a much more interesting character.
Well, it's also like no one's going to be saying Sean Connery anymore, even though he probably still should be. But
but like that, like
he's going to be like 100 years old soon enough. You know what I mean? Like a little in a little while, it's going to be like, you know, yeah, we don't talk about the one that came out, you know, 250 years ago, you old fuck.
Was he ranked there? Oh, he's ranked 4 there? I read the Esquire article on him, and it was like not Esquire, GQ, and it was like he's widely considered the best James Bond. But,
well,
I mean,
anyway.
it's an opinion-based thing, so I very much like Daniel Craig.
I very much like John Cusack movies.
So do I.
I like, what's your favorite
John Cusack? We tweeted about it this morning. I just watched Runaway Jury.
Runaway Jury is incredible.
Like, I would say, I think I told you in the last month, it's probably within the last 2 weeks I watched Runaway Jury.
I went on a tear. I had one of the first, I was early to having a DVD burner. And,
oh, yeah, that's how you got through college.
My dad got us like some pretty legit laptops, and I remember they could burn. They had one CD thing that could burn like at the same time. It was like high tech, whatever. Burned it fast, and I got a Netflix subscription when it was mail you the DVDs.
Yeah,
and I got 7 at a time, and I wouldn't even watch them because I mean, watching 7 movies is like a lot of fucking. I would just burn them all and send them back. Burn them all, send them back. So I would get a new set of 7, like twice a week. I can't believe that Netflix wasn't like, what's fucking happening here? And I had a binder filled with probably like 350 movies. I was like the bootlegging fucking movie. I was a movie bootlegger.
And would people pay you to rent them?
I would mostly just like let people. Yeah. But it was like, people would like show up to my door, like not knowing me, being like, I heard you got the movies. I should have.
Yeah,
I was like a drug dealer who didn't charge money. And I remember this kid, I think his name was Johnny, huge black guy, came and he was like looking through and he couldn't decide. And he was like, I'm just going to take him back to my dorm. And I was like, it would be better if you just would. Just take the, you know, one. Or you can take a couple. Like, don't take all of them. And he was like, yeah, no, I'm just going to take them. I'm going to go. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll pick it up later, man. It's fine. It's fine. He had that for like 2 weeks.
At least he got him
back.
No,
I didn't get him back. I was like, can I have my movies back, please? Runaway Jury was one of my first ones that I ever burned, though. And it was like, I was like, this movie's going to win the Oscar. This movie's fucking amazing.
Right, with Gene Hackman, what's up?
Incredible. I mean, Con Air we referenced. I like 2012. I think that's a good, like, disaster movie.
Never saw that one. Gross Point Blank, I love.
Gross Point Blank's amazing.
Love.
High Fidelity's amazing. Being John Malkovich is
actually Fidelity,
like a good
I like,
movie.
But it's almost like, I actually, you know what? I don't know why I just lied to everybody. I've never seen High Fidelity. I watched,
but you're so loyal now to Zoe Kravitz.
I watched the TV, I did start it, and I was like, you know what, this is Zoe Kravitz's story. I'm not watching this,
even though it's totally opposite.
Yeah, right.
So many people were probably like, this is John Cusack,
right?
But the guy just has hits, and that's not talking about his '80s like superstar movies.
Say anything
with the fucking boombox and 16 Candles. I mean, he was that dude. He dated Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
If
that.
You're fucking Jennifer Love Hewitt, you are big time. And last night, 2 nights ago. Game 3 of the ALDS, White Sox Dave confronts John Cusack after trolling him for like a decade. And John Cusack goes nose to nose.
I did not watch this video. I can't. It's these things, these interactions
John,
make me too awkward and
John,
too uncomfortable.
I am going to force you
I know. I,
to
well,
watch this.
I didn't want to watch it because I knew it made me too awkward and uncomfortable. Then I knew we were going to talk about it on the show, so I didn't want to watch it live. I have not seen this because these things... They give me the heebies.
Now, you got to listen, like, you know, you got to be able to hear it, too. It's obviously in a crowd. It's tough, but look at John Cusack's tower.
White Sox.
Here, help me. No,
nose to nose.
White Sox bandwagon. Hey, we've been
closing. I can't collect it.
I know you did, but...
You can't tell me where. I collect wherever I want. Who was the first baseman in 1983?
Ron Kittle?
No. Mike Squires.
Mike Squires.
That means you're old.
But I'm younger than that.
That proves your ignorance.
That's not ignorance.
You know who Lamar Odom was?
Lamar Odom? Yeah, Lamar Odom.
You know who Oscar Gamble was?
Yes.
I know all of them.
I know all those guys too.
I think it proves your ignorance.
But I mean, you can't. It's all about.
I'm in a movie, by the way.
Half the fun about being a fan is being visible. You can't just go to the Cubs side when.
I went to the ballpark growing up.
But that doesn't count. You can't do that. That's like against the rules. That's the best part of having in Chicago is that you got two teams to root for.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
Agree to disagree, I guess, but I think it's... stinks.
Now, here's the thing. White Sox Dave is absolutely 100% correct. The actual issue at hand, if you're in a two-team city, you pick fucking one side.
See, now I don't disagree. Yes, I will disagree because I didn't grow up in it. So I cannot speak on this. I grew up in Boston. We got one.
Yeah, and you're also rooting for two teams now with Tom Brady.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. But the when my team's eliminated, like I root for the Mets. Like when you went on the Mets thing, like
it's not the same city.
I know it's not the same, but I want to see my friends happy. So if I grew up in a town, I think I know I wouldn't. This is I guess the way I would go, but I mean I'm just listening.
They're
to
your
this
friends,
way.
But they fucking like roast you mercilessly and talk shit about you and your team and hate you. And
yeah, I guess that's
you.
True. I don't. I think ALNL is different, but I guess like yeah, when my Yankee friends,
it would be like if the Yankees.
I don't root for the Yankees.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fair. We talked that out.
And he's absolutely right. Where it's like. Part of being a sports fan is that you have to go through the lows to get to the highs, and you look back on the lows, and it makes it all worth it and all that shit. And John Cusack, it sounds like when the Cubs got good, he was just like Mr. Wrigley, and he was at the World Series games, and I think he's singing the fucking take me out to the ball game, wearing the hat. Like, I could not imagine. I will never put on a Yankee hat. I've never done it. I never will do it.
Okay, me and Coley got in a fight about this over the Ben Affleck, coming up a lot today, in Gone Girl thing.
Like he shut down shooting for filming for the day, right?
Which I don't think is true.
Yeah,
I think that I think people were like, "Do you think that maybe that someone actually shut down millions of dollars worth of filming, or do you think maybe that friendly actor and director are
caused
spinning
a
bit of
scene.
A story?"
Yeah.
But like, if I was cast in a movie and they're like, "This character's a Yankee fan," I'm like, "Okay, give me a Yankee hat." I'm like I close like you put on a Yankee hat. I'm like. Yeah, if I was in a movie playing a different person, sure. I'd also wear clothes I don't wear. I don't fucking care.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, and I probably wouldn't, like, jeopardize my job for it as an actor, but I really would not enjoy it. I really wouldn't. The fact that there's just, like, that picture is when it's just a screenshot and people don't know it's a movie or whatever, it's just, like, a picture of you.
But even these are the Yankees. These are the fucking Minnesota Twins. Who gives a shit, Kevin?
Yeah.
This isn't some fucking evil empire team. This is a fucking...
They're nobody's.
Middle of the road franchise. Yeah, sure. I'll put on an A's hat.
Yeah,
I'll put on a Mariners hat. A Yankee hat. Whatever the character wants
to
wear.
It's no big fucking deal. I'm actually just showing like... I'm stooping to their level. Yeah, I'll put on a Yankee hat. Whatever. But...
Well, you want me to pretend we're a good team? I'll definitely do that. Sure. Yeah. That's classic Yankee fan stuff.
The movie's fictional, obviously. It's something I think unless you live in a two-team city, I keep switching that up. And even New York's even worse. Chicago's weird because the Cubs recently were good and won. But for the longest time, the Cubs were obviously the joke with the curse, but they were still like Big Brother. In a weird way, they were they were always the popular team, and the White Sox were like the scrub team. And it's not like the White Sox were great, but they snuck in there in 2005 and they won. And like, it's like the White Sox are the real baseball fans, the Cubs are the bandwagon fans. Yeah. But even if the Cubs are losing, they're still selling out. Wrigleyville's popping, all that shit. New York, it's like there's two teams. One always wins, one always loses. At least it used to be. And it was like pure fucking hatred from Mets fans to Yankee fans. And Yankee fans would just disrespect Mets fans. So there was like, there's no crossover. And anybody who does, there's like these godforsaken hats that have like half the logo on each, half the NY on each. Shit like that is like utterly disgusting.
At least that can't happen in Chicago, right? There's none of those.
You can't like mix and match
that. Because the Mets and the Yankees are very similar hats.
Absolutely. When that recently, just opening day this year, I want to say, a dude wore a Mets customized Jeter jersey. It was a Mets jersey that said Jeter with number 2. And people were like, what is that? Like, get this cursed image off of my screen.
That's disgusting.
It was disgusting. So that's even, like, it's even worse in New York. But in Chicago is the only other place. I guess you kind of have it in, like, Los Angeles a little bit. But L.A. is L.A. Like, nobody fucking cares. And so he's right. And to be a celebrity... Actually, you can be a celebrity who flip-flops because that's like what celebrities do. But then John Cusack portrays himself as like Mr. White Sox. He like when the White Sox are good, he is like, I'm from the South Side. I was in 8 Men Out. I like live and breathe White Sox baseball. It's like, well, then you can't be this many fucking images of you watching a Cubs game screaming, cheering, clapping, wearing Cubs hats, jerseys, jackets, the whole nine. You just can't. Or you can do it. You can do whatever the fuck you want, let's be honest. But then you're going to get shit for it. Now, he tried to tell Dave, it's like, well, I was promoting movies. Like, no. You were fucking there rooting. And you can say you want to, like...
Wait, who did he say was promoting a movie?
In that, he's like, I was promoting... Like, at one point in the jumbled up, he's like, I was there because I was promoting a movie. It's like probably
at Wrigley?
Time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, that's not a fair...
No. So he's absolutely right. But he... Look at that still. I mean, he just got... Look at that. No matter what was even said, he won that argument just by the like, White Sox Dave should have got some higher ground somehow.
Yeah. I didn't. So I had seen. I obviously I'm alive, so I knew about this situation. Hadn't watched the video until just now. I had seen a lot of the responses. I did. I was under the impression that White Sox Dave got blown out of the building.
Well,
I don't think he did. It was you asked about like three obscure players.
It's tough. It's tough to like. To
you don't know. You think you're a sports fan? Name every player on the team in all history.
I don't know. It was funny when he said, do you know Lamar Hoyt? And he just goes, Lamar Odom? Yeah. Why would we be talking about Lamar Odom right now, Dave? It was not that, like, you're right, because it is an this is what happens. I've said this all the time, and it usually happens on Twitter. If a celebrity tweets anything at you, everyone's like, oh, he got dunked on.
Right.
The celebrity could just tweet at you, like, shut up, dude. And people would be like, what? Because he claps back, and usually celebrities don't. I think the fact that John Cusack, who, again, was like an A-list dude, was willing to just, like, step up into fucking White Sox Dave's greasy face. Like, going at it, yeah. Kind of. Is that, to me, regardless of what was even said, I do got to give...
That right there.
Like, the condescending hat. Right, that's what I mean. Little things like that.
I think it's
unfair to do the trivia, but to just have that ready, be like, who's the first baseman in 1983? It's like... what?
Which I think Eddie tweeted out that, like, that was exactly the same player he referenced 10 years, whatever that fight started. Like, I know who Mike Squires is.
I feel like that might
is that,
be
his, is that your guy? You just have...
I'm
Switzerland on this, because I love Cusack.
Yeah.
I think that... I also really like Dave. I think Dave... Yeah. I've started, like, hanging out with Dave. I think Dave kind of gets
Cowboy.
A bad rep. Like, I love Dave. I think Dave's
He's a grand old time.
Yeah, he's awesome. So I like both the people in this, but I think that it was not as big a blowout as the internet had led me to believe.
You're right, but it's utterly ridiculous.
I'm just kind of in between. I like a little bit of both.
It is one of the most ridiculous things that ever happened in Barcelona history. I mean, that's
was he
like,
doing an interview before that?
I think I don't know. I think he was just talking with fans, probably.
Oh, I thought I saw a
if he interrupted there. A fucking interview, that's even better. And I texted Dave. I said, like, how – I don't even know exactly how I worded it, but it's like it sucks when this happens to you. When you run into someone in person that you've been running your mouth on the internet forever, and it's like, well, fuck, I didn't think this was going to happen.
Yeah, that's why I was with Barstool never became successful.
Yes, I loved it when I was an anonymous troll. I love the level of, like, I'm not an anonymous troll in the sense I'll put my name on it, you know, or at least my initials. I'll say it out there. I will at you
on Twitter.
Put my
moniker on it.
Yeah, I'll put my
I'll put my fake Biden, internet name on it.
I'll at you or whatever. I'll say it right to you. I just don't want to be big enough that you notice it. I want to be able to – because that's also when you're going to get, like, your full – you're going to be fully honest then. You know what I mean? Like, when you're not – catering to a celebrity's feelings or the guys on your team and you want them to like you, it's like, I will, you know, this is how I really fucking feel. I'll be honest about this shit. I also got to be on Cusack's side because I am on the banned list. Fuck you, Dave. I am not allowed to celebrate the White Sox World Series when the White Sox win the World Series. Not too worried about it. not too worried about it. They're a good team. I actually do like – the White Sox are kind of like similar to the Mets in the sense of like where we stand in our cities, and we're both trying to like be on the come up. Obviously, the White Sox are doing it a lot better. But yeah, I'm already on the ban list, so like fuck you, White Sox Dave. Team Cusack for life. Cusack is the perfect superstar, one-time superstar, for this – for a Barstool storyline. Yeah. You know, like, the reason why I think it's one of the most ridiculous things is it's not like if there was a current huge celebrity who was at the White Sox game to like promote the blockbuster that was currently out, almost that would be that wouldn't be as good because it's like, yeah, he was there for the thing, and you know, it's just like John Cusack is like John Cusack's on Cameo and he's on Raya, he's on like dating apps, he's just kind of like this guy.
He's on Cameo.
I don't know about Cameo, but I know he's on Raya, and it's like he was this guy who was this A-list superstar, and now he's just kind of this regular cat. And then he goes on the Twitter tirade. This is where I thought I actually really liked John Cusack. I think he's still going to this moment, so it's like, all right, you need to stop. But he called him a belligerent, sweaty asshole and a foul little boy. And he said he said he has bad breath and bad body odor. I bet you after a night of dogs, beer, and dip, White Sox Dave in your face, oh, that'll probably knock you out, dude. You probably had horrific breath. But just one of the best, like, it's Mad Libs, you know what I mean? It's like, insert name here, insert place, insert beef. White Sox Dave fighting John Cusack outside the stadium after a fucking White Sox game is... It's been a long time coming. I'm happy it finally happened. But, boy. And then Patricia Arquette jumped in the mix. I mean, it's crazy.
Patricia Arquette
is wild.
Is she dating him? Or like, why is
Patricia Arquette? I think she's always been close with him, I feel like. Or they were together once. But she came in being like... Baseball's a sport of peace, and we don't need this darkness.
Is it? People throw baseballs at each other 100 miles an hour because they smiled at the wrong time.
Yeah.
So it's an incredibly violent game and dangerous.
It's just an all – it's one for the record books. And so I think a Dave – I don't know if Cusack's performance is that great. I think Dave just needed to, like, hammer. He needed to be a little more, like, ready with something.
Yeah.
Like, when he was, like, agree to disagree, I don't like it. You can't just be yelling. Gotta like say it, you know. At least he wasn't chewing gum, though.
I think Dave actually kind of gets the. I think he might not be a shitster.
Wait, what?
Like, so the only other time I can think of him in a confrontational thing, and again, I want to be clear, I very much like Dave. It was the tie yourself to the statue thing, and it was early days on Dog Walk. And Eddie called me and was like, will you come on Dog Walk after that? And by the way, I never did that as like a fuck you to Dave. I did it because it was funny. It was just like, right. It wasn't like, oh, I'll do what he was scared to do. It was just like, oh, this is what we're talking about right now? Okay, I'll just make this jokey bet.
Right.
But then I was like, yeah, I'll come on Dog Walk. And then it was just kind of like this weird thing where it was like, I was like, oh, I think he might be mad, but he never really said anything. And then,
like, non-confrontational.
Yeah, and then Eddie afterwards called me. He's just like, "Hey, I didn't think it was going to go that way." I was like, "Oh, like, I didn't know he was mad." Like,
you know
it was,
what? That's actually real.
Yeah, right.
You know, like that's like he's not faking it. Like he doesn't have like real beef. Like he's not going to fucking fabricate it. Like he's just a real dude.
Right.
And I think his point is you know, he just wanted to make his point. Like you can't root for both fucking teams.
Yeah,
he did that.
I guess I didn't have to say it to your face. I could have just tweeted it. But
He did say to me, he's like, these people, he's like, it's almost like a boy band or something. He said, like, there's a lot of Cusack fans coming at him.
Really?
Who, like, don't know.
I get that. Fucking old moms. Absolutely. Who used to fucking think of themselves to Johnny C. Yeah. I almost said Q, but no, his son's heart is normal size.
Another great fucking movie.
Yeah.
A little bit later, and then we're talking about, but still, just an awesome action movie. So, yeah, I mean, put it in history books. This comes after throwing the dip spit, by the way. That's animalistic behavior.
Hey, by the way.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I get it. I get people's disgust with it, but as a former dipper, I have no problem with it. But I get that
I
used to
gross
people out. It
was weird that it was like he... I thought he, like, grabbed the bottle without looking. It's like he like, steps over something and, like, knocks something else over and then, like, grabs, like, here's my dip spit bottle and then throws it. It's madness.
But
madness.
Why was he out here?
For the stream.
Yeah, but gambling's legal in Illinois.
That's a great question.
Like, they do streams like we there, haven't done Red Sox streams. I think we're doing one tonight. I think it's just going to be me and Hank. But like I was talking to Hank yesterday, and I was like, we got to do a fucking stream.
Yeah.
So I think because it's a clinching game tonight. But I was like, why is Dave here? Because it's legal in Illinois.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah, a couple guys were in. There was a few of them, right?
What?
I feel like, was Eddie there too? No.
No?
He was the only Chicago. Well, Dave's not the smartest. So probably like did that on his own, not realizing. But anyway, add it to the history books of Barstool. Dave versus John fucking Cusack. And I know that Dave is in the internet blender right now. I did see some funny tweets that were like, did you mean to upload a different video where you don't get emasculated and embarrassed? if you're going up against a celebrity or someone with clout, like, you really got to fucking nail it. Like, Dave has done it before, Dave Portnoy. Like, you got to bring your A game, because people are always going to lean towards the celebrity, which is kind of bullshit. But if Dave needs a little bit of help, pop on the computer. He can find himself some telehealth, find himself a doctor to talk to, do some therapy. All on the phone, the computer, your tablet, all through a screen. You don't have to find any doctors in person. You don't have to sit in any waiting rooms or figure out, you know, who, what, when, where, why. You just
I believe it is Mental Health Month. So
is it?
I think so. I'm not positive. I don't know. But if there's ever the time to do it, it's right now.
I would say that every month is Mental Health Month.
It's always Mental Health Month.
Yep. Our guy Jeff D. Lowe put out a real passionate post on Instagram talking about some of his struggles. I mean, I don't think I realized it, but I have heard kind of through the grapevine and from fans of fans and friends of fans that, like, it still is a big deal to some people when we talk about how, like, we have fucking issues. So I guess it still, like, really matters to some people to hear people who are on a platform or do a show or whatever that, you know, we're going through shit. But we were almost joking earlier that, like, the "you are not alone" thing, it's like, I think we know that by now. I think everybody knows we're all fucked up. So, you know, we're not alone, and we don't have to keep fucking saying it because we're all just fucking a little crazy and have some issues. So let's address it. Let's figure it out. You know what it is? It's like if people said, like, you're out of shape. It's like, yeah, we're all out of shape. Right? But a lot of people go to the gym, right? Most people know to go to the gym because it's a physical, tangible thing. My
summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
KFC. We got to get into top fives. We got to do voicemails. We also have an interview with Kim Coates. You know him as Tig from Sons of Anarchy.
Which I've restarted since the interview.
Yeah.
More fucked up than I remember.
It was...
Tig in particular.
Tig is wild.
I think, man. In episode one, he's like, get the fuck out of here before I rape you.
Yeah, he's crazy, man. He's fucking Venus de Milo or whatever her name is. Venus de whatever. Lot of death, lot of murder. And that the interview really got me fired up. Like, I was like, oh, I gotta go watch that again. I literally started that.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So if you're a Suns fan or a fan of any of he's actually in a lot of movies. Like, you know, he has a lot of cameos and a lot of roles in some major 90s movies and always just like the fucked up kind of scary guy. But Kim Coates was a gem. But first, what do you got?
I had a pretty tough weekend.
Oh no.
Just, I had a lot of stuff happen that just had a lot of stuff happen.
Did you tweet that video or post that video, or is that just an internal thing?
No, it was posted. I was not aware it was getting posted. I thought that was just for us.
Oh, yeah, that was a little...
But it got posted. I wouldn't have had my gross bare feet in it if I knew it was getting posted. I went back and watched it like five different times, being like, oh, wait, no, fuck, wait, is there anything there? Yeah.
My dick tip hanging out there?
My fucking socks were right next to the ice cream, which is disgusting.
I mean, the whole thing is deplorable, John. That's the point.
I had to, like...
I don't think there was anybody watching that, like, being like, oh, I thought this video. I thought he was going to be like living nice and clean. Yeah. John has a video of him that wakes up on the couch. Wakes up on the couch, empty fucking ice cream jar.
Container.
Pint.
Pint.
Yeah. Open drawers. Open freezer. Yeah. Just wide open.
But luckily, like, a lot of the stuff wasn't melted. Like, I must have eaten it pretty like early this morning. I don't know.
Some people have suspected that you have a carbon monoxide leak and that you are, like, poisoning yourself and, like, slowly dying and blacking out your behavior.
Sure could be.
I think it's more, like, mental that you have just, like, suppressed.
Bro, not only so
to the point that you go to sleep and black out.
I sent texts that I don't remember sending, and I fell asleep watching Suns, and I woke up and Netflix was on, so I changed the channel at some point, too. Like, yeah, not like changing the channel. I changed the streaming service.
Right. You were like,
I woke up in the
bouncing around on the homepage,
like,
and everything.
Screensaver for Netflix was on. I was like, I fell asleep watching Suns, so this is weird.
Yeah, man, you've.
I'm gonna die soon. Like, I want everyone to be ready for that. I'm not living much longer.
He has been calling his shot for a while now. And can I tell you why I don't?
This
want
one's
to
I'm
die.
Dying. This one's I'm dying. I've called other shots.
No,
I'm dying.
I get it. Like, I don't want you to die because I don't want to like hear it. Like, we're all gonna get so much backlash when you die.
No, not that was only if I died of my own hand. This is like this
I don't
like,
know. You know. No, no, it's gonna be everything though. It's like because like you're gonna die from something on hell. Are you talking about like you're gonna get hit by a bus? Then we're good. But if it's anything like I don't know, you just like didn't wake up one day.
Yeah,
like,
no, I he think was something's wrong with my unhealthy. Brain.
Yeah, yeah, that's not gonna just fall. That's not gonna just fall on you.
Oh,
dude.
Okay. Well, here's an audio. Will, this is just my fault. Chill out.
I'm gonna play that.
Yeah, no, that's why I did it.
When
for
John
you.
Dies,
yeah.
I'm gonna tweet R.I.P. John with that fucking
this,
video.
This that's was 100% my fault. Shut the fuck up.
My eulogy at your funeral is gonna be like I'm rewatching Succession in as building up to the third season when Connor goes to Mo Lester's funeral, and he's just like, Lester was a man who was alive and now is not anymore. And it's sad that he's not. Thank you. I'm not speaking on any specifics. We're not going to do it on any of that. You're not going to know that John called his shot 1,000 fucking times to us because people are going to be like, why didn't they stop it?
But while we're on depressing, I hit like an all-time depressing milestone. Saturday morning, 7 a.m., doing laundry. I could end the story right
I was going
to
say, that's it.
Could end it right fucking there. But I was doing laundry. And I don't know about how your childhood went, but like, like one of the few chores I had in my life was I had to get the clothes from the basement that my mom had folded and bring them up.
Okay.
It was like just easy stuff. And I remember always seeing my dad's underwear and being like, this shit's like fucking got like tears in it. And like, mm-hmm. it's like old. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, am I going to have cable? Like, am I going to have a shitty Christmas this year? Why is this dude's underwear mm-hmm. so fucking old looking? And as I was folding my underwear, I realized I am now a person with old underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And that is as sad a thing yep. as can happen in your life. Because guess what? I used to lose my underwear at women's apartments.
Yeah.
I used to lose it at the beach. I'd lose it at fucking bars.
Yep.
I'd just drink too much and pee my pants and throw the underwear out. I'd lose it fucking anywhere. I'd eat so much food, I shit my pants.
And I would keep them.
And I would just throw the underwear away. I'd lose underwear everywhere.
Now it's like... Now you would shit in those and keep them.
No, not even that. It's just that I don't live a shit-yourself life anymore.
Oh.
I don't live a life crazy enough to be in a girl's apartment where I leave my underwear there. I lead a life where I fucking wake up in the morning, put on an old-ass pair of underwear.
Doesn't matter.
Walk to work, sit at my cubicle.
Yep.
Fucking go home, put that underwear in the wash, and the threads... They are like a...
The threads
like,
are killing themselves.
They're like they're a suicidal. Fucking significant other leaving me. They're like this dude has hit a rut, and I've known him for 5 years now.
They're just disintegrating.
And I think that I've learned who he is as a person, and I don't think he's got the mental fortitude to fix this situation. I think he's going to end up in this rut forever. So I'm leaving while I'm still at least a little bit intact before he destroys me entirely, saying, he's got an extra 2 or 3 weeks in these.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing, too. There's something happens mentally where you're like, why do you have to push the limit with these underwear?
Yeah.
Why do we have to stretch out another? You know, it's like the elastic's not totally dead. It's like all fucking bacon necked out. You know what I mean? It's all wrinkly, wobbly. You're still wearing them. I don't know why.
Bro, I'm getting broken up with by my underwear. Fucking, it's gotten down to me undies thinks I'm not going to be with you forever. This is, you don't lead a life I want to be around for anymore. I'm fucking out. If my me undies were in the room right now, they'd have to put money in the jar. My fucking,
you have
my Tommy Johns were in here, they'd be like, yeah, I got a quick draw. That's to shoot yourself in the fucking head. Quick draw fly. Pull that dick out and kill yourself, motherfucker.
You're gonna kill yourself. No, you know, when you die, however it is that you go, like the detective on the scene is gonna be looking at your underpants as evidence and be like, oh, this guy had suicidal underpants.
Dude,
we get it.
This
like,
is
we should, you know.
This is what Polly warned me of.
Yes,
Polly warned me of this.
Don't
for
ever
years.
Have holes in your underwear.
Decades. She's like, don't have holes in your underwear. Guess what? Holes. Not even holes. Just worn out. Just the seat of my pants are worn out.
Can I tell you something even more pathetic? So I have...
Was that a scoff out of you?
A what?
No. Oh, I thought I heard a scoff being like, these fucking old assholes.
I have just come to terms with the fact that I think I'm like a double XL in boxers. It's crazy. I put on a just a. I've been large like everything. I've just been large my whole life, like large pants, large shorts, large t-shirts, whatever. I put on a pair of large underwear, and it just doesn't work. And now and then I finally like recently upgraded to XL, and I was like, oh, this is so much better. I've just been wearing the wrong size boxers for like my whole fucking life. And now I think it's time that maybe I need to go up another level, but I can't bring myself to wear fucking double XL.
That might be the like end of this podcast.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like you can't have double XL underwear unless you're like an actual fat guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
If you get double XL underwear, I might treat you like my underwear treats me. I don't know, man.
Yeah, we're done with this.
Might be time for me to head back to the loom.
There's something about like one's relationship with their underwear that
it's like this guy
volumes.
Doesn't even care about my appearance anymore.
And it's about
giving up.
It's about like you used to like have one of the first things that got me into Barstool was when Dave was talking about when you have your big game boxer briefs. You're going to go out on a date or you have a big thing, a big moment where you're going to be like naked. It's like no, it's like you don't have big games.
Yeah.
Like you might even have the underwear, but no one's gonna see them. So you might. So back to my point. So I have larges and now XLs that like really just don't fit me. And I like took a pair and I kind of just like ripped the elastic.
So that you used to do with hats. It didn't fit anymore.
To just like give it a little snip, right? So I get it like a little bit bigger in the waist. And it's still not right because it's not the waist; it's my fat ass.
Yeah.
So the waist is not the problem. So then I just cut like the thigh a little bit to kind of like
Jesus Christ.
I was down to no pairs left. Like everything was in the laundry.
Do the laundry before you take your underpants to a tailor who has no training in tailoring.
John, let me tell you. So I'm sniffing.
I don't know. I'm just cutting random.
I've become an underwear surgeon at this point, right? And so, you know, it's one thing.
Were you going to bring this up if I didn't bring up my own underwear?
No. Why would I ever talk about this publicly ever? So it's one thing. I understand it's fully pathetic already. But it's one thing, like I said, I'm in a jam. I actually, when I used to call this, I wrote about this on For Sure Not way back in the day. You have your big game boxer briefs. The antithesis of that is like your last stand boxers, where it's like I got one pair left that you inherently hate. Yeah, and it's like when I made the switch over to boxer briefs, but I would still have like one pair of regular boxers floating around. Yep. And you put those on, and you got just extra fucking fabric everywhere, or you got the pair that doesn't have a fly, or the pair that itches you because of a tag, whatever it is. And you're like, your day's ruined. When you open up your drawer and you realize you're wearing your last pair of boxers for the day, it's fucking over. Yeah. You might as well just like call it in, like I'm sick and kill yourself.
Like today's Monday. Whatever day it is, it's a Monday.
It's a Monday automatically. Yeah. So, but I'm down to that last pair. I snip. It gives me like a little relief. I squeeze my fat ass in there. I wore those a second time. And that's the true pathetic.
Like you popped them inside out and wore them the next
day? No, not that much.
Because I fucking...
That's fine. Yeah, that's fair. If I just didn't do laundry again because I'm clinically depressed and I can't bring myself to do normal tasks at home, I would be like, oh yeah, I just got to flip these inside out. I'm saying it made it into my laundry and made like another rotation.
Yeah. You're talking to someone who wore small underwear for years. Like literally, I think the better part of a decade. So yeah, I can see how I wore a pair of underwear that didn't fit me two times.
But like, do you understand like the depression of like, here's my surgically altered pair of boxers. I'm gonna wear them again today.
Okay, well let me just see how far we were down here. This surgery,
yeah,
performed with scissors or a knife.
They were scissors. Okay. Knife would be even better. But it was almost, it was like a knife and then just brute force. Like, it was just ripping. Because I did a little snip and it was like, that's not enough.
I
was wearing like a kilt.
I was going to say.
Like, you were just flopping in the wind. I just should have not worn underwear. Like, I don't know, whatever. Who fucking cares?
You were a roll of duct tape and eyesight away from wearing fucking dish towel. And then a wrap around. Like, you know what? Fuck it. This is easy. I'm just doing adult diapy.
I'm wearing Depends because I don't have any more underwear.
All right. So let's keep depression rolling here. Dude, this weekend, the other day, I had someone come by. I was out at the bar. And I left the bar for a bit to go grab some cigarettes. And I while I was in the 7-Eleven, I also had to buy a bunch of candy. And then I was like, well, I'm trying to be healthy, so I'll get this big bag of candy, and I'll also get a banana. So I'm outside a bar. I'm outside a bar with doing alternating drags with
banana and
cigarette. Banana. And at 7-Eleven, they just give you paper bags now. So he's got a paper bag crunched up in the same hand as a banana.
Wait, you're doing a paper bag banana?
No. The banana's on its own. It's in the same hand. But the banana's riding solo. Okay. Paper bag is full of candy that's just in the same grip.
Like your writ?
No, it's a paper bag. So I'm just holding it.
This is bad. Yeah. So you're lifting the bag and banana to your mouth at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
This is bad, John. Yeah. This is bad.
And then I'm like... I'm kind of just sitting
Are you
there.
Ever like eating the banana before you like you know what's it called like when you what's it called in college when you like you take a drag then you do the shot then you exhale?
Cannonballing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Are you cannonballing your bananas?
I'm doing this regularly. But I'm doing it on a street corner, not in front of the factory, the bar.
Uh-huh.
Well, because I don't want the people I'm with to see me.
You. Yeah.
So I'm staying next to
this is just a break? You're going back to the bar after this? Yeah. This is just a cigarette banana? You went on a cigarette banana break, John?
So I'm sitting there next to a trash barrel because I'm on this street corner. I want to be out of view. So I'm smoking a cigarette, just kind of looking down, biting a banana, bag full of candy coming to my face. Cigarette, banana. Someone comes walking across the street.
Fiedelberg.
They go, "Hey, what's up, Fiedelberg? Big fan." I'm mid drag, so I go to correct him. And I go, "Fiedelberg." I go back to biting my banana. And I
it's actually Fiedelberg.
It's like, so great.
I don't want you to think I'm someone else. God forbid you go home unsure if you've seen Fiedelberg switching back and forth between a cigarette and a banana, sitting by the trash barrel.
Oh, man.
If you don't believe me, I'll give you my social security.
You want to take a picture? Let's take a picture. You can post it on your Instagram. You want a bite? You want to bite a banana? You want to take a trash?
Man.
And they were Marlboro 100 because he gave me the wrong thing. And I want to correct him so I looked like Cruella DeVille. Oh, man.
We're getting close to rock bottom.
Hold, please. But anyway, I need to call the police on my neighbors. This happened this weekend as well. So, I've been working out. I don't know if you've noticed. I've been working out a little bit. Yeah, no big deal. And
tell you something, I absolutely haven't.
Yeah, no one has. And so I, but when I work out, I just don't like music anymore. I just don't. I don't care about music. I don't like it.
Yeah, you say this all the time, and then you're gonna literally calm yourself when Taylor Swift puts out
music. That's the sound of a siren, Kevin.
She's gonna just sing a song that already is out. I'm just re-singing this, and everyone's like, "Did you hear the Taylor album?" I'm like, "No, she put out new music." And they go, "No, it's just an album from 10 years ago that she's singing karaoke again." You fucking losers.
Yeah, I'm not going to hear anything. I'll have no arguments. I'll have crashed my ship into the rocks trying to save this woman. Anyway, that's what the sirens did, you dick face.
You dummy. You ever read The Odyssey, you fucking moron?
Suck a dick. What's up, Homer? Anyway, when I work out, I listen to music. And I listen to, like, 90s, early 2000s punk rock. I think I've just finished it. I think I've
gone through the whole catalog.
I think I've gone through it all. I've hit it all so much, I've been kind of sick of it.
Yeah.
So, I now listen to just comedy albums. Not podcasts, comedy albums. I just listen to them, and that's what I do while I work out. Now, my workouts entail not much, really. jumping rope. Mm-hmm. I have 10-pound weights. I'm going for tone, not size.
Yeah, sure.
I have 10-pound
weights.
I used
to love that, bro. I do low-weight, high reps, bro. Yep.
They're like, "What are those, your girlfriend's weights?" Yes, they are.
Are they the pink, like the rubber pink ones? Yes, they are.
They're actually gray, but yes, they are surrounded by rubber so I don't hurt my nails.
Right.
And chip my nails. And then I also do a light boxer. So I'm like kind of on my porch –
Mm-hmm. Which, and I do this shirtless because I have the body that I am allowed to work out shirtless.
Okay.
People don't see it, and they're not like,
they're not like, that's disgusting.
Yeah. No, oh, no, I'm in between that's disgusting and that's a douchebag. I'm just a regular person.
Right.
They
honestly, like, that would be enough for me to not work out at all, but go off.
It's just like, oh, okay, that's just a guy. Like, he gets hot. He's sweaty.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, he's showing off. Like, nope, he sweats a lot when he exercises because he's got that body.
Right.
But because I've listened to the comedy albums, I listen to the comedy albums now, and again, not podcasts, comedy albums, where people are recording in front of live audiences, going for laughs every 15 seconds.
Yeah.
I laugh out loud
all the time. Yeah.
So what my neighbors see and hear is a shirtless adult man jumping a rope.
Laughing maniacally.
Laughing his ass off. And then I will take breaks, Kevin, to go
eat bananas and smoke cigarettes.
To go inside and punch things. He's all goes on. And I'll come back out and I'll jump rope, right? And sometimes I mess up jumping rope, so it whips me, my shirtless body.
Like,
you fucking son of. And I'm on my porch for this. Whoa. So they hear me, and they see me, and they're like, honey, whoever lives with him is going to die.
This is like...
And then the wife's like, oh, no, they've been dead for a week or two.
Yeah, it's in their closet.
I don't see them anymore.
Under the bed. Yeah.
And it's just me. I was listening to Soder, Son of a Gary, just fucking dying when he talks about how Hulk Hogan could have fucked him. And he drops the line, what you gonna do, Hulk Hogan, when Dan Soder doesn't tell on you? And I was like, scream laughing while I jump rope. And then would go inside in clear view of the window and just punch things while I continue laughing. And no one has so much as knocked on my door, Kevin. They have seen something.
Of course not. You think someone's going to come over? I'm going to go over there. I'm going to cross the street and go see the guy who laughs maniacally and beats things up and fucking sweats. You are the last door I would ever knock on.
Fine, then call the police on me.
You see something, say something.
They've seen things and they've said nothing.
That's like the behavior of Joker.
Yeah, I know.
That's Joaquin Phoenix. Like that laugh, just
and then just random bursts of cunt.
It's maniacal laughter, like Tourette's type. Tourette's type yelling and violence.
It's everything that should have people in white suits and a van showing up to take me away.
Again, these are the things that fall on us now. Okay, why didn't you have this guy fucking institutionalized? They're all cries for help. He's literally out there screaming for help.
Can you imagine just watching someone laugh while they jump rope and hit a light of curls and push-ups? Just laughing the whole time. I understand people listen to podcasts while they work out.
It is kind of a thing. Like, there's more of that. It's a little bit more socially acceptable these days. Not what you're doing.
But because I'm doing the comedy because it's just like these are people like, you know, occasionally laugh, podcasts makes you laugh. This is every 15 seconds
it's
we need
really
to laugh.
A really funny joke. Yeah.
I am just laughing out loud for 40 to 50 minutes at a time with intermittent bursts of swearing.
I mean, John, this is getting depressing.
This was... Bro, everything I just said happened in a 24-hour window.
I know, that's
what's
crazy.
That's a day in the life, motherfuckers!
Oh, man. Well, we might as well just keep it rolling. We'll do top five most depressing moments of your life. top five rock bottom moments.
Top five depressing milestones.
Yeah. Top five moments where you looked.
I make a solemn promise to not use anything that actually happened because it'll make you too sad.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won every single fight. Will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Throw in with that football. top five most depressing milestones of your life.
Number one, I'm just going underwear. Underwear. Holy underwear with an E.
Yeah.
Holy.
Holy, I get it. I get it, man. It's
holy.
It's,
holy.
Stop.
Underpants. Ricky Burr.
You are out of control today. You are out. I need like a. You're like a dog in heat. You're a cat in heat, just out of control right now.
Goodness gracious.
I can't even think of these like in order. Basically, I'm just gonna bring up depressing things that have happened. And this one just this weekend. I'm at the beach with Keegan, and we're throwing rocks.
I hope we all stay in a 48-hour window for the top five depressing moments.
Well, we should, to be honest. Because nothing that happened like 20 years ago was even remotely as depressing as the last 2 weeks for me. You know what I mean? And nothing's really happened in the last 2 weeks. It's just my life now. This regular-ass shit that happens now is more depressing than my most depressing moments 20 years ago. Things that people used to throw around the word depressing or whatever, like, it's like, no, you have no fucking idea. You know? Like, oh, man, I'm so... Like, life is so hard. It's like, no, it's fucking not. It hasn't even begun. I was at the beach with Keegan, and we're throwing rocks in the water. And, I mean, you know, I just can't throw anything anymore. And it's the same beach I used to go to as a little kid. And there's been this floating dock that we used to swim out to when we were kids that I used to be able to, like, throw rocks and hit it. And, I mean, I just can't even come close now. And so I'm throwing rocks with Keegan, and I have to, like, throw sidearm, and I basically just have to, like...
Are you one of those psychopaths?
No, I just can't.
No, I know. That's what I mean. I had the Little League coach who could, that's all he could throw.
Yeah,
just, like a sidewinder.
If I throw overhand, even if I just, like, do that motion, it's coming
out.
Dude,
we were 9 years old, and he'd be throwing us, like dirt scraping.
Submariners.
You
know? Yeah, yeah,
and I'm
like, dude, the
guy on the A's. What the fuck, man? Like, this is BP. I haven't hit puberty yet. What are you doing? Dude, just fucking have your wife throw it, okay?
Throw it like this.
Yeah.
Like a beer pong ball. Just throw it. But just realizing that I can't throw. Like, I actually had a thought of, like, when Keegan gets old enough to, like, really play baseball and we're, like, playing catch or I'm, like, we're, like, doing long toss or, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not even able to do this.
Right.
My arm is so shredded, I'm not going to be able to really, like, play baseball with my kid. That's a depressing thought, John.
That's a tough one.
That's a bad one, dude.
Yeah.
That's a bad one. And I was like, I was like, Shay, do you think I can hit, like, that dock out there? And she was like, no, that all the way out there? And I'm like, crow hop. And at first I would just step and throw. And I came nowhere close. And I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. Let me warm up. By the end of it, John, I'm fucking... and throwing it, and it was coming close, but it was.
Did you ever get it?
No.
Oh,
it was probably like 100 feet away, John. it was so close. So that was depressing.
All right, my number two. When I had to start sitting down to put on socks.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Louis C.K. bits is when he talked about when I bend down to put my socks on. It's like trying to
fold a bowling ball
in half.
I don't know if it's a cannonball, but yeah.
Yep.
The and I don't have a chair in my room.
Yep.
And for some reason, I don't like my bed is always just covered in clothes.
Yeah.
So
no,
it's
I'm with you.
So I don't really have time to sit in my bed.
Yeah.
So I have to walk into my living room. To put on socks to get dressed the rest of the time.
Yep.
I have to do a lap around my apartment just to get dressed.
Yeah, no, I feel you. That is a good one. I will just sit down on the floor to put my shoes on sometimes.
You put it on the floor?
Yeah, just like I'll just sit down.
That's psychotic.
Well, I mean, if it's...
That's...
Whatever, dude.
But you live in an apartment. There's a chair close by. Because guess what? If I sit on the floor...
Then it's hard to get up.
I'm going
to
be a half hour late for work.
You know what they say? Let's try to do it right now. I believe I've read at some point... That they said, like, the sign of just, like, basic health is sit on the ground and just get up off of it without, like, using your hands, without touching the ground. I think this was for, like, geriatrics. So maybe this is going to be easy for us, but I don't know. Like, just sit down. Yeah, as I'm sitting down, I'm like, wait a minute. It's going to be tough. So just, like, sit. Can you sit India style?
I mean.
I bet you can.
Can I sit crisscross applesauce, you mean? I'm gonna be able to do this, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem. There's no way. I don't know how well you can hear us over there, but there's no way this is the fucking sign of basic. I can't use my hands.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Right,
someone
get
Google
up.
Sign of.
Get
Google
up.
Google sign of.
Get up.
No, I'm saying like this is impossible.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were saying it's too easy.
No.
Yeah.
Too hard.
Yeah. The lights are off on you.
Yeah, I got.
I'm able to touch the ground.
No, that's the point.
There's no way. There's no way.
I got to do this. I was getting nervous that you were gonna do this way too easily.
I thought I was gonna.
I can. I got to do this rocking thing. I think if I rock back and then rock.
Oh, and I can do it.
Oh.
Yeah, but I think I also just tore my ACL. Yeah. There's no way. That's how you're supposed to get up.
No.
I
just so we're clear, my right leg is numb. I think I pinched a nerve or something. My right leg is it immediately went numb, and I don't know.
I got something popped in my left knee.
There's no way that's the sign of basic health.
I wish I could remember.
That's the sign of a superhero. Like, Marvel's going to call me when this fucking clip comes out.
Google,
you want to be the next Captain America?
Get up without. No, don't do the sign of basic health. Just say get up without touching the ground or something like that. Because I remember reading that and being like, I could do this no problem. At the time, I could. And now it's like the stand-up test. Yeah.
The stand-sit test.
Yep. What does it say at the top there?
Yeah, what, are you going to read something other than a headline?
Using
no, thanks.
Your hand. Yeah, what it says about your lifespan. The sit on the floor without using your hands says about your lifespan. Like,
oh,
it's going to end
sit
soon.
On the floor. Go down. We got up.
Oh, that's even harder.
Yeah, we both used hands to get down.
Oh, my God. Wait, doing it to get down? I'm just going to collapse to the floor. Yeah. Right? No, wait, no, I'm good, actually. I can just do that, yeah. I can do that.
So what does this say? You did that. Both of those were way smoother than I thought, like, than I could do.
Yeah, because I'm in better shape.
Yeah. I don't know about
that. I love that.
I jump rope and do light box every day, Kevin.
I love the fact
that... in a chair.
What?
It's supposed to be
in a chair, Kevin!
What is it?
If you're just be able to get up like this out of a chair.
Oh,
not
that's
on the ground, yeah.
Like I said,
I don't know.
Superheroes.
I don't know.
That was amazing.
Oh, you know what I was actually. You know what I'm able to do now? I can do. I can do the Chinese hoon squat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
It is crazy how many Chinese people do that, or Asian people. I see it around the streets of New York all the time.
It's wild.
Heels
it's
on the
not
ground.
Comfortable though. They're just chilling, smoking, eating bananas. It's crazy. I definitely hurt my knee a little bit. Yep. Anyway. I'll tell you what your next draft pick should be. That scene right there.
What are you talking about? That was fun.
I
did it.
Like, my knee is like
again,
burning.
We were supposed to sit in a chair.
I don't know. That
and
was,
we
that
did
was
the
not
floor.
What I read. I read something else. The chair is for like if you're fucking about to die. Like, you can't get up out of a chair. Although that is like, you know. The,
yeah, I do.
Yeah.
My number three is going to be like, I had to watch what I eat. Like,
wait, you're number three?
Yeah, I went underwear.
What did I
put
do?
On socks?
I only drafted one so far.
Oh, I drafted first. No, you okay. Drafted two.
What did I draft?
You're
so
throwing
far?
And I guess you didn't draft this.
Yeah,
time.
I got to draft something. I will go with the moment I enjoyed unsweetened iced tea.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. The moment gross. That I was always like Snapple, or even better, I would make my own Lipton. I would make a fucking pitcher of my own iced tea. And there would be so much powder in there that no matter how much I stirred, it was not dissolving anymore. Like, the water had its fill of powder. It's like, we can't fucking hold it anymore, dude. And this shit would be, like, so fucking dark, brown, sugary. And then I just hit a moment where Young Unsweetened came out. And I'm like, and now I can't drink sweetened iced tea. I'm like, this is like a fucking bowl of sugar in my mouth.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And I mean,
that's how I feel eating milk chocolate. I'm a dark chocolate guy.
That's a good one. That's another one. Same sort of thing. Where I mean, and if you see like young people, like when you're like, I'll have an unsweetened iced tea, people are like, oh my god, you're just gonna kill yourself. You're almost dead. It's a weird sign of like, you know, you're old, dude.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna take the dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
Well,
yeah,
how about
can
I put like a slash? Because I want this to be on the graphic. But it is like, it's all eating habits. We're like,
yes.
I like dark chocolate.
Yep, that's a good one.
And I can't eat a full pizza anymore.
Without heartburn?
Not just I can't do it. I used to take down a full pizza, no problem.
Okay.
I can eat like two or three slices of pizza now, max.
Yeah.
And then even with those two or three slices, heartburn through the roof.
Dude.
I sleep sitting up. I just sleep on a couch like this.
So that to me, you're taking the eating. I'm taking heartburn because when I learned what heartburn was, like, I didn't know what heartburn even meant, you know? I've heard the descriptions of it and stuff or whatever, but I remember the first time I felt it, I was in bed, laying down, that's when it hurts, you know? And I was like, I need to go to the hospital. Something's wrong. Like, this really, really, really hurts. Like, something is happening here. And then I'm Googling all these different things, and then one of them is saying heartburn. And I was like, no fucking way. And it was, like, sit up and do these other little things that, like, make it subside. And those all, like, were working. And I was like, fuck, I have heartburn. And then, it's this bad.
When people get heartburn, they're like, you've had that for, like, 15 years? And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think I am fucking suicidal?
That feeling is the worst, dude. Ugh.
It's tough.
Fourth pick?
Fourth pick is when I started getting scared of stuff.
Mm.
Like I was, I mean, this is up until, that was probably like 30. Like, I was fearless. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, you were jumping off a fucking cliff.
I'll do cliffs. I'll drive 100 miles an hour. I'll ride Absolutely. Rides at roller coasters. Like, I was, and it's probably even, I would say probably around 30, where it was just like, okay,
I'm out.
I'm just scared of things.
Yeah.
Like, there's, and which is weird, because, like, the longer it goes, the less I have to live for, and it's for some reason, like, now I'm scared of things. Like,
my fourth pick will be, I went on, like, a kiddie ride with Keegan yesterday at a carnival, and I really didn't enjoy it. It was one of those, it was kind of like the teacups where it spins, but you also spin. And it is completely, you can spin the thing in the middle to make it spin fast.
Keegan, you can knock it off.
I just held it fucking still. I just held it so we didn't spin. And even just the going around, I was like, I don't like this feeling at all. And I remember when we went to the King Richard's Fair, me, Dan, and Dave went on a kiddie little like sea dragon thing. And Dave at the time was probably like 38, right? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, probably about that.
And he's like, boy, dude, I don't really like this. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking around, I'm moving around, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is like a little swing, you fucking pussy. And now I'm like, anything. I jumped on the trampoline with my kids. I was like, this doesn't feel right. I don't like this feeling at all. It's like roller coasters, things where you spin, shit. I used to be like, put me on the Gravitron, put me on the roller coaster, put me on this, whatever. And now I'm like, anything that makes me slightly dizzy. Like, even just, like, doing, like, dizzy bat. Like, I just, like, turn around. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck?
I need a cane to walk you out of bed.
Yeah. I mean, it's depressing.
My last one, noise. What is it? Was it Kiss? Someone had a band. It was a band. It was something like, if the noise is too loud, you're too old. To me, it's too loud, you're too old. This is honestly probably why part of the reason I went to comedy. I just can't have things in my ears anymore. I can't have music in my headphones. It's too loud. It is all too loud. Noises, bro. I don't talk to my parents anymore, because to talk to them, I have
don't
to be
yell.
I have to be on the streets.
Yeah.
And then like, there's other noise. It's like there are too many. Oh, I don't talk to them at home. Oh, there's better shit to do. I have Netflix at home.
To talk to them, I have to be on the
talk to my parents when I have the internet and Netflix. No,
nothing.
That's for when I'm walking. That's the only time. That's the only time people talk to other people, when you're walking or driving. Once you get back to Netflix, spent $9 billion on content this year.
You think I'm gonna
interrupt Mom
that?
And Dad? How much did you guys spend? Oh, you had a nice dinner last night?
Nobody cares.
Seinfeld's on now. Thank you very much. it's only when I'm on the street, and it's just like there's like your cars and sirens and fucking subways under me, and I'm like, there's too much noise happening right now.
Are you going to be one of the people who plugs their ears when the sirens go by?
You'll go Larry David with it? Like, ugh, God.
I used to make fun of those people. Like, you're really going to plug your ears while the siren goes by for like 10 seconds?
Well, because sometimes in New York the traffic's bad, and it's like, are you following me? I'm okay. Go get someone else.
That the sirens can be a bit much, but the people who plug their ears for the train, it's like, come on. The train's not that loud.
But
the sirens, that shit goes right through you.
It goes right through you.
All right, for my last pick, boy, there's a lot to choose from.
We rifled through this one pretty fast with no research.
let me rattle off a couple things I'm thinking of.
How about this? I'll give you an honorable mention while you're still thinking.
Yeah.
I don't jerk off as much anymore.
Okay, wait, no, I'm back. The first time my dick didn't work. And all the subsequent times after that. Like, I remember being like, I will never have a problem getting my dick hard. As a matter of fact, I will embrace it. Like, I need this thing to go away a little bit. You know what I mean? This is presenting more problems than it is benefits.
A little more milk in this black coffee. That'd be great.
I need to cut it. This is a little too pure. I got that Colombian right now. I need that shit stepped on, okay? I was like, I need this dick to not be as active as it is. I used to jerk off every single shower.
Kevin, I used to jerk off like 8 times a day.
Like, but if I took a shower, I'm jerking off. Like, dude, if I was naked, I was like, well, this dick's gonna come. if this dick is out, it's gonna come, and it would get hard, and it would come. Yeah. And
we're
now,
come to the party and not get fucked up.
Hey, and then that first time where I remember being like, oh wait. It's happening. Fuck. And I had to be like, it's not you, it's me. And like, I don't know, this never happened. But even more depressing than when your dick doesn't work the first time with a girl is when your dick doesn't work for the first time with yourself.
Yeah. I still never let that one happen. Yeah, you where do you think you're going,
it.
Buddy?
Yeah, you fight through it. You get back here. You get back here. Grab it by the neck. I grab it by the neck and I slap it around.
Hair elastics wrapped around. Yeah. It's not even hard. It's just full of blood and purple.
That was a little too specific.
I haven't done okay. that. Funny visual, though.
But I have put on one of those things before. Have you ever worn one of those? What you're describing?
Oh, I've worn a cock ring before, but not.
But
really.
Did you ever put it over the balls?
like, well, the woman in New Orleans did that. She just bit the bag off a condom. But when I
because I've worn a
one of the all time most intimidating moves. It's the, it's like what the fuck.
For the people who don't like, you know, like she chewed the condom apart so that it was just the elastic. Ring. We're not talking about the fucking wrapper. We're talking about the rubber itself.
No. It's already out of the wrapper. I know.
I know.
She flips it out. give me that cocky ass.
Around your cock.
Just hop up there. I'll suck that cock.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ. What are you going to do to it?
Oh, man. But that was like a throw-in at Romantic Depot once. This thing was so small, John. It was the tiniest little rubber fucking thing I'd ever seen. And you just stretch it out and you put it over that shit, it will turn anything hard. It will make Gumby fucking rock hard, man. That shit will trap all your blood in there, bro. But, man, the first time having to deal with any of that, having to get your Roman fucking pills or swipes or any of that is just like... Oh man, I never thought. I truly like, not even on like a, again, not in like a macho way where I was just like, I know how hard this thing always gets. I don't think it's ever gonna be a problem. Never gonna be a problem. It's a problem. Yeah, it's gotta be my number 5. It's most one. Depressing milestones. Also, getting divorced. Yes. Signing the divorce papers. My first Christmas without my kids. Sharing birthdays with newborns. Great. So let us know your most depressing. I want 2 things from the KFC Radio audience right now. One, I want people to come up with video voicemails. It's our new segment that we're going to do. Instead of calling in, just make a video. You don't have to make it all like weird and gross and sexual. If you don't want to put your face on it, it can just be regular questions. But we would love to make it more visual. We can put it in the YouTube. You can see the clips. So please do that. And 2,
Merch it up too, right?
What's up?
Merch it up for him if you get like.
Yeah. If you submit and you make it to the show, we'll give you some free merch right now. So think about it. You can either win a new hoodie. If you're like a content.
Bad boy season's coming.
If you're like a content creator, you can like get your face out there. We'll get your name out there. You can make videos, show people you're funny, all that shit. There's a lot of benefits to it. 2, I want like a 20-year-old to make their top 5 list of this.
Yeah.
Like I want like a 19-year-old kid to be
so
like,
so I
my
can
most
ridicule you on the internet.
Yes. Watch, we're going to find like the most like depressed, fucked up 19-year-old ever. Like when my mom killed herself, when my dad killed herself, when I got cancer, when my dog died. But yeah, try to, like, what do you think's depressing?
When I got a C on my midterms.
Like, yeah. Fuck you. Your dick still works.
Filled out of 5 different schools. Sucking ass.
All right. We're going to get into voicemails in a second. And we got our interview with Kim Coates. But first, it's our Tuesday episode, which means it's time for the new, most electric sports segment in the podcasting industry. The best NFL coverage you will get in the world of entertainment today. I'm talking about Jacked Up.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Bam. Now it's time for Jacked Up.
Jacked Up!
Start okay. The clock.
Mike. Oh, wait. Hang on. Ready? On your mark. Get set. Jacked Up!
Okay. I'll start with the Jets, as always. First of all, I want credit. I woke up. Okay. I watched the game.
Did you know it was 9:30 kickoff prior to like waking up that morning?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Because even I didn't. I woke up. I was like, wait, oh, fuck. It's a 9:30 game.
Yeah, I didn't know either. Sorry to interrupt you real quick. I'll pause it for you. Stop. I don't understand how England hasn't, like, started a war yet.
Yeah. We send them shit games every year.
I think someone told me yesterday that there's literally never been two winning teams who've played.
Yeah, no. I mean, who would have? It's always the Jags, and it's very often the Jets.
It's insane.
It's terrible.
The Pats have played over there once. The Pats were 4-3 at the time. Surprising. Right. 2012. Against the 3-4 St. Louis Rams. I think that's the closest we've ever had.
That's got to be the best game that's ever happened.
Two winning teams.
A Jets-Falcons game is the last thing on the planet Earth I would ever want to spend my time
with. I would be upset. Like, just stop with the games.
And Jackie, what happened?
The Jets lost.
Yep.
Zach Wilson.
Yep.
You know how last time I said he's doing pretty well?
Yep.
Didn't do pretty well.
Nope.
He had like 60 yards passing in the first half.
So this is a thought that I had. That normally when I say these things, I just take it from like whatever I'm hearing.
Yeah.
But this was an original thought that I had, which I think means, and if I got it right, then like I know sports. Mm-hmm. You know how Aaron Rodgers, you can't give him time on the clock.
Yeah.
I think with Zach Wilson, you need to give him time on the clock because I think he fucks up with the more time he has.
Yeah. Zach Wilson.
You don't seem like as
well. That kind of doesn't make. I don't know exactly what you're saying.
Because what I saw, and this is what I thought was like at the end. There was like a little time where they could have turned it around.
Yes. So the Jets need like another quarter.
Yes.
And they could probably pull out. Some
of these comebacks.
But when Zach was like. When they did like the little 10 hut, like whatever,
snap the ball. Yeah,
he would get it, and then he would be like, he would have it for too long, and then just time would go on. He would just keep it. You could tell that he was just like overthinking it.
I do think he overthinks it. I think when he just slings it, he actually plays well. He's the only guy who like he can't make short passes, but when he just balls and he just throws it down the field, it's much better.
I heard Adam Archuleta saying that yesterday. He has a problem with the easy stuff.
Yes,
Adam Archuleta also admitted that he didn't recognize Kyle Pitts. So I put it on game film. I was like, who's this guy number 8? Like, I don't know, the highest picked tight end in the history of the game. I don't know. Adam Archuleta maybe fucking know who that is. It was like,
that's
such
what I was
going to
say next
drag.
Is Kyle Pitts. Great game.
Great game.
Player of the game.
Yeah.
And Matt Ryan did pretty well. Did very well. Mm-hmm. That's all I have for that.
Next up.
What do we
Jacked
want?
Up!
Okay, Packers
we'll
Bengals.
We interrupted there, so you get a little more time. Yeah. You go.
Okay. How much more time do I have?
You got plenty.
Okay. Packers Bengals, crazy game.
Crazy.
5 missed field goals in the span of 8 minutes. Embarrassing. Super embarrassing. I think that I could do that.
But who ended up
winning? Oh! Also, I have. You can't give Rodgers time on the clock. Learned that. Packers ended up winning.
The night game.
Chiefs.
Versus
Bills.
The Bills.
Bills won.
Bills Mafia.
Bills Mafia.
No one circles the what like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles.
If you don't know this, you're never.
No, but that'll
know.
Be bad. Yeah. So nobody circles the.
The quarterback.
Yeah.
Is that it?
No.
Okay.
No. The wagons. That's a tough one.
Why would I know that?
No, I said if you don't know, you're never going to know.
Okay. But Josh Allen is a really good player.
Yeah.
That's all that I have for that.
Yes. Dave Portnoy bet $150,000 on the Bills.
I think it's just 100.
100.
I think he won 150. I think he won 150.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. So. Walk away with 250. That's putting your money where your mouth is.
As he should. That's a good thing?
Yeah, very good thing. Winning $150,000 is a good thing, yeah.
Okay, Vikings-Lions, 22-22, tied up. Lions, like, wait, no.
No.
That's Texans. No, I'm thinking Texans.
Patriots.
Okay, 22-22, tied up. There was an opportunity for the Texans to beat the Patriots, and then didn't happen.
Patriots did win.
What about
the Chargers-Browns.
Chargers-Browns, there you go.
Okay, very high-scoring game. But then there was a chance at the end for the for the Browns, and then Baker threw to somebody, and they missed it. God. Yeah. So
that's jacked up.
That is
jacked up.
And that's jacked up.
That's week four. Jacked
week four.
Up. Week five.
Week five.
Week five. Jacked
episode
up.
Episode three.
What'd you say?
Well.
Was right, week three of jacked up.
Week
right?
Three. Of
week three.
Of,
ah, okay. I see.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Sleep.com/KFC. Voicemails, let's go.
Hey, guys. So I have a question for you. I am marrying a man, and I recently broke my dominant hand, and I used to suck dick with both hands. The Gluck Gluck shout out. Don't listen to that podcast anymore at all, by the way. But I was wondering, do you guys prefer mouth only or mouth with hand? Because he seems to like mouth only more so than mouth with hand. So, yeah.
I think for the spectacle, no hands is the move. But for the feeling, hands work.
Oh, I like fucking handcuff your hands, my dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then, first of all, it's been a long time since we just had a
straight up sex
you,
question.
How you like your dick sucked?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's an OG right there. Yeah. You know?
Like, this is just hey, John and Kevin. On the off chance she's married, I believe. On the off chance I ever run into your cock, how would you like it sucked?
Well, this poor girl's got a broken wing right now, and she feels like she can't do the job the right way.
Personal preference, Kevin. I like a hand.
Yeah.
I like.
You got to do
like,
that thing where you go like that.
Come on.
You know, whatever that's called.
The Jenna Hayes pepper shaker.
Yeah.
Pepper cracker. Yeah. Fucking give me that thing.
The two hands. If you do the two hands right, or I mean, two hands is you know depends on how much.
You gotta have enough fucking grass on the field. There.
Yeah. How much?
You gotta have long enough runway to get two hands on the
right.
piece.
So it might be two, it might be one, but if it's done right, it basically just becomes an extension of the mouth.
Oh, because there's enough.
If you just business. Give a fucking sloppy blowjob,
I'll tell you what. I'm not sure how to act right now. I haven't had just a sex question. I think since women were in the room while we started doing this podcast.
I wasn't thinking about her until this moment. Now it's awkward.
Completely shifted my chair.
I know. Now you're just looking right at me. I'm looking right at you, but she's in my peripheral.
In my head, it's better to stare you directly in the eye while I talk about how I like a blowjob.
I was
going
to say I'd rather talk to you about dick sucking than look at her. And I'm just here to tell you that if it's sloppy.
One person can sue us, Kevin. I know what I've signed up for. Anyway, Kevin, how do you like a fucking mouth on your cock?
I feel like no hands, by the way. Like, you're going to be here. You're going to be there a long time.
You're always going to be there a long time.
I mean, the longest, you know, yeah, like, the best head is still going to take a long time with just your mouth.
Yeah, well, that's all. I'll be like, I'm gonna have to dip my ink in the well.
Yeah, before that.
Can I shift gears for a second? Because sure. I just touched myself, my skin, not my penis. God damn it, son of a bitch, this motherfucker.
This is also weird too. You touched your skin. What does that mean?
I was about to say, like, I think I have the flu, because I just touched my skin and my hand was so cold it like jolted me, and I'm very achy at the moment.
You get me the flu, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I
see, motherfuckers forgot about the flu.
like Dre.
Yeah. They forgot about the flu.
The way you said that, I was like, yeah. Motherfuckers forgot about
the flu. They fucking forgot about the flu. It's all this Rona talk. It's like, you can still just get the regular old flu that fucking sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. I don't feel good.
Anyway, suck dick with your hands. Yeah, you got a broken hand, don't use that one. Use the other one.
Yeah. Or
I understand, though.
Get a glove and dip that glove into lube.
Yeah. Honestly, the hand job is a woefully underrated art.
Underappreciated.
But if you I can understand if you're used to doing this thing with your right hand and then all of a sudden you got to do it with your left. I can't even brush my teeth with my left hand, let alone suck.
Oh, I never understood the people who are like, "Oh, I jerk off with the other hand. It's called the stranger." Like, shut up. First of all, you didn't invent that, and for some reason everyone who tells that joke acts like they invented it. Yeah. No, you didn't. And then second of all, I don't care for it.
That just feels like that. You know what that feels like? You're jerking off with your shoulder.
Yeah.
Your like, whole arm's working. It's like, that's not right. Next up.
Yeah. I jerk off my arm, wake up with a sore chest in the morning.
My pecs are.
Yeah. Look at that.
Hey, KFC Fights, Nick, Jackie, the gang. What's going on? I'm sitting in standstill traffic on the way back to Manhattan like I do every day.
It's a funny phrase right there.
I look out my window into the car next to me and I see this guy pouring milk into a bowl out of a half gallon of milk and proceeding to eat what I assume is cereal. And it's fucking Looney Tunes to me. Just to have a half gallon of milk, this guy must have planned out to eat cereal on the way home from work while driving.
I love this guy.
But I guess the question is, what's the weirdest thing you've seen somebody doing in their car? Or, if it's better, what's the weirdest thing you've done in your car that somebody else may have seen you do?
All right, so first of all, the thing I said is a funny phrase, sitting in standstill traffic.
Yeah. Sitting in standstill?
Yeah. You're standing in standstill traffic. You're sitting in standstill traffic.
Yeah,
you're sitting in standstill. And called. What's the deal with airline food?
You drive on a parkway and you park on a driveway.
Second of all.
Cereal is.
This I'd like great. To add this to my oldest moments where I'm more happy to discuss this than how I like my dick sucked.
Bowl of cereal.
We're talking about fucking lactose? Yeah. Yummin.
I would love to meet this guy. A bowl of cereal in the car is awesome.
You ever done it?
No.
Never driving, done it. Done it passenger.
Interesting.
Done it passenger
now, was this...
as a 17-year-old on the way to court for being arrested.
Nice.
I walked out, my lawyer, my uncle, picked me up, and I walked out of my house.
With a bowl of cereal?
With a bowl of cereal.
What an asshole you are.
Captain Crunch. My mom came out.
Oh, that was when your parents looked at you in your outfit, right? And they were like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He's going to go to jail.
Yeah. And I came out with a bowl of cereal. And my uncle / lawyer looked at me and goes, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
My mom was waving goodbye to me. And
she
I was
just
like,
set you up for failure. All I was the time. Like,
just drive the car, asshole.
Now, so you're an asshole. But I'm wondering, was this like I had gone to the store, bought milk and cereal, now I'm stuck in sit-still traffic, and I'm just going to, like, bust that open? Or was that, like, a planned thing? Like,
I think that's...
Yeah, I meant to say bust that out.
I'm going to bust it open.
I said bust that open. Too casual.
I'm going to bust that open. You know?
That was, like, that was a phrase that I use in other places that came out.
You said that like a person who says that.
Bust that open.
And guess who doesn't say that? Because I'm not going to bust that open.
That was bad. Yikes.
Oh, God, I'm going to bust that open. I'm not. I don't have the tools you need.
You don't have to bust it open, Dick.
I might seal it up. I'm not going to bust it open, though.
But Fights is fucking Billy Mays here with Flex Seal. I'm going to seal that pussy up. So my thing is the milk. If you have a half gallon of milk, here's what I do. Here's what I've been doing recently. I pour myself a bowl of cereal. When I say a bowl, I mean a Tupperware full of cereal.
Yeah.
And then I take the box with me, but because I don't want to take the milk with me, I pour the milk into one of those coffee thermoses, those like stainless steel.
Yeah.
So that it stays cold, and I bring that with me to the couch, so then I can have a second bowl. It's pretty awesome.
Kevin, it's pretty awesome. How slow are you eating this fucking milk, this cereal?
I like my milk icy.
that if you did.
I don't like to leave my milk out at all. My milk is either in the fridge or being poured. That's it. I'm not leaving it out.
Milk, you're consuming this bowl of sugar so slowly that if you brought a container, it would get warm in the time that it took you before
warmer,
you...
Warmer.
I mean, milk to me is like fucking farm to table. Like, that's just... I sit down with a bowl of cereal. Just,
I like my cereal to be as cold as possible. I don't want any even slightly warmed up milk.
Okay, and then so I guess here's question two. I've been in your apartment. I know how far it is from couch to fridge.
It's like, that's like 15 feet. I don't want to walk.
Like, just...
Just get those calories.
No,
up.
If I know, that's like purposely leaving the kitchen knowing that you need something from the kitchen. I know I'm going to have a second bowl.
But now you have an extra fucking thing to clean. See, while you're about not taking steps, I'm about not cleaning shit.
Yeah, I feel you. There
so
is
I'd be like, I'll get up again, I'll avoid having to clean this.
Well, I think that's
milk
stupid.
Vessel.
I want to have
what
my
I call titties now.
I want to have my milk can. I got my can of milk. Maybe they should start making milk in like 6-packs or like 12-packs, like smaller, just like.
Life is cyclical, baby. You're just describing a milkman.
Yeah.
You're describing what the milkman carries the milk in.
Yeah, like, I wonder how many ounces of milk I need per, like, bowl. It's something you never really measure. I know exactly how, like, long my pour is. It's like a solid, like, 1, 2.5 count kind of. Like, done.
Really? You know? See, I just know when my milk gets to the level I like. I see it come around.
Yeah, well, yeah, that same sort of shit. But, by the way, I have perfected the art of eating cereal. Having the exact right amount of bites with milk left. You can give me any bowl of any size with any cereal, with any milk, and I will eat it perfectly to the end. You'll never catch me. Yeah, you'll never catch me with like too much cereal at the end or I'm running out of milk. I will nail any bowl ever.
That's pretty good.
It's my only talent in this world. I will always finish with a final sip because I drink the last one. And it down the hatch like a fucking pelican. Just open the gullet, and all the corn pops and all the milk go in one shot. And then I pour it out with my milk can. I start again. Anyway, what's the question? The
question is, what do you think about this guy? Clearly, we love him.
Yeah, clearly he's a hero of mine.
Clearly, from now on, he doesn't know this, but I call him Dad.
This man is a serial hero. And I'm going to have to – you know what I'm doing tomorrow when I drive to work, don't you? Like, I just have to now.
Yeah, also, we do have to give a obligatory Sonny reference.
Obligatory.
Here. Obligatory. Yeah. Obligatory.
No, I'm going to start saying obligatory.
Don't make fun of people who mispronounce words because it means they learned them reading.
Wait, what?
So you don't make fun of people who mispronounce words because it means they learned them reading. My mom taught me that.
Oh, your mom's an idiot. I got to give an obligatory shout out to the documentary I've been watching.
But the Sonny reference.
What?
One of my favorite Sonny episodes.
When he's eating when
the
he's,
cereal defense. Yeah. It is literally if you somehow listen to the show and haven't watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, congratulations, you've avoided all of our references. You've been like, these guys are talking like assholes all the time.
Why would you even like this show?
Yeah,
you,
it doesn't make sense. Yeah. It's a show born of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. However, if you never have, go watch the cereal defense.
It's amazing.
It's spectacular. A half hour.
And yeah, I mean eating cereal television. in your car. It's a crazy move. It's a crazy person move, but it's an elite move.
Yeah.
It's like a next level.
And it is easy to do.
The driving's difficult,
but even like as someone in a car, you still have to use.
Oh, yeah.
You got to have your sway. You got to know about it, but you can get it.
Equilibrium, yeah. Yeah. Next. Last one. Wait, this is our third.
Hey, what's up, KFC? Right. It's got a question for you. What is one, like, comfort item that if you could, you would get the chance to show someone from the 1800s, like maybe a Lazy Boy? You throw someone from 1850 in a Lazy Boy and just watch your mind explode, or a nice pair of sweatpants, you know, something they didn't have back then. All right, Viva.
This is so easy for me. You go first because it's too easy for me.
Well, I mean, it's got to just be like the television. If you're being honest, you know.
Oh, the television is like that's not comfort. I guess it's comfort. Yeah, it is comfort.
Okay, well,
so
the first thing that popped into my mind, I would show a lady from the 1800s like the most powerful vibrator on the market, and she would think it was witchcraft. Like she wouldn't know what to think. You get like the rabbit with three prongs touching
every
hole.
I don't think
it
would do anything to them. I think that their fucking clits are so hidden beneath a fucking wall of wool that they'd be like, I don't even feel it.
Well, that's what I would do then. I would show them their clits then.
Yeah.
You want to talk about comfort? I would introduce 1,800 women to their own clits.
That is a good answer. That's a like good answer.
If you just move get through there, I'm telling you, you're never gonna do anything again.
Fistful of that and the sheep shears. look what's under here. It's a magical treasure.
Where's that button, girl? You are not gonna go out work the farms ever again. You're not gonna be doing anything.
Oh, you're gonna be gathering orgasms and that's it.
What would you show?
I was gonna say an anxiety blanket, which is just funny just to watch.
I thought about my weighted blanket too. Yeah, I swear to God, it did.
I honestly thought you were gonna say anxiety blanket because, like, I'm gonna be like, look, sometimes in our air conditioned offices, we have tough days.
And I can't sleep at night.
And when we come home, we need to be coddled and cuddled. And she's going to be like, I spend every day
18 hours
trying not to get beaten by my husband.
I try not to get beaten by my husband, raped by the other men. Yeah. I try to secretly learn how to read. And if I do so, they might set me on fire.
Yeah. But I'm sorry that you had a long walk home that day because the subway took too long and you needed to be cuddled by an inanimate object. Give me that fucking thing so I can light it up. It is, like they would, it wouldn't be a source of comfort for them. It would be a source of rage.
Rage, absolutely.
There's like these fucking people in the future. Sometimes people they can't see are so mean to them that they need to be hugged by blankets.
I bet just a straight up bed would be like a modern bed. Like you lay on like a bag of sticks and like. Yeah. And leaves. Probably. Here's like a springy Tempur-Pedic mattress. Oh,
yeah, I took a quiz, so this fits me perfectly. Yeah,
a Helix mattress I'd bring with me, or a pillow, or the television, or like a microwave, like something that cooks quickly, rather than sitting there over an open fire.
Yeah. I had to cook a. I had to just twist a rabbit for hours, and then pop it into a stew. Oh, yeah, by the way, in between those two things, the king raped me.
You know what else I would do, maybe? Just like a, alcohol, like modern alcohol, I bet is a lot better.
Oh, yeah, none of that.
You know,
peach.
Like, yeah, it's like, here's a nice full-bodied red.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
Here's
sorry, I just stepped on grapes for weeks and years on end. I'd step on grapes, put them in a glass, and then I'd hold that glass to the sun for as long as I could until it fermented.
Until it fucked me up.
Yeah.
Hey, when did like people start smoking weed? That would be a fun one. Like, I know like the Native Americans were getting high, but when did like white man get high in America?
When
in
did Europe? We culturally appropriate a fucking buzz?
Well, that's like why there was the opium wars, right? Because like all of Europe got hooked on fucking opium.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I know I've heard the phrase opium wars, but I've no idea.
Yeah, I think it was like the Far East had all the opium, and they're like, well, we need to fight them for it because we're addicted. When did people start smoking weed, Mike?
2,500 years ago, the third millennium of the BCE.
Motherfuckers.
That's why God came down. Yeah, he's like, all right, come down, nice. See what happened here.
All right, interview time with Kim Coates. You know him from Sons of Anarchy. Got a new show out on Snapchat, actually. Some new modern TV type shit. And if you want to get down with the newest, the best and newest way to consume your TV entertainment, you got to get Sling TV. Not only because it has all of the major sports streaming live, which is always the one problem with cutting the cord, is that you can't watch your teams live, and it's always like an issue to get a stream up. Not with Sling TV. Not only because of that, but also because they've got the Barstool Sports Sling TV channel. We've got our own channel now, 24-hour programming, where you can watch KSC Radio podcast for free up there on your television. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't watch podcasts. And I get why. If you are still a commuter or a workout listener, I get it. But in this new world, on a night where there's nothing on TV or nothing else you want to stream, give it a try where you pop it on at night, some primetime programming, when you're eating dinner or you're just hanging out, and watch the podcast live. And it's a couple hours of entertaining visual content that I promise you will be different than listening, and you will at least understand why it's better to listen to the podcast, maybe, or to watch the podcast. Maybe you can't always do that, or you don't want to do that. I get it. You want to do something at your desk or you're at work. Understood. But it is entertaining as fuck to watch your favorite podcast, and you can do that on the Sling TV channel with 24 hours of original Barstool content playing each and every day. Right now, Sling TV is $35 a month, way cheaper than your like $150 cable bill. And if you go to sling.com/barstool, you can get your first month for just $10. So everything you need streaming for $10 this next month when you go to sling.com/barstool. One more time, that's sling.com/barstool. Sign up, and you can watch shows with great actors like Kim Coates.
Let's see if we – yeah, there we go.
What's up, dude?
What's cracking?
Hang on one sec. I got pants on. Give me a minute.
Oh, jeans, too. Ugh. The worst.
What the fuck?
What just is take, that take about? It all off.
Yeah, really.
Oh, my God, you fucking knuckleheads. How are you?
Unbelievable. How are you?
Well, I'm very handsome for filming all fucking night.
Yeah, what time? Where are you right now?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the United States of America's capital. Mm-hmm. I saw more mustaches. Come on, give me your names again, you guys.
I'm Kevin.
John.
Yeah. And John?
Yes.
Yeah, Kevin and John. Hey, boys, I saw, you know, we were in 1972. White House plumbers, all about Nixon, Woody Harrelson, Justin Theroux. Me, all the Cubans. It's a true story. I play Frank Sturgis. Anyway, sideburns for days.
Yeah.
and we're wrapping it up, boys. And it's really nice to talk to both of you.
Unbelievable,
it's,
man.
It's our absolute pleasure, Kev. I promise you that.
Hard working dude, huh? Got a lot of pots going right now, huh?
You know, guys. Like, look at you. You're still, you know, sitting beside one another, which is a fucking miracle. you know, I mean, we're not going to get political, but vaccinations, please. Like, let's stop this fucking thing. Like, stop. And so it's been a rough year, right? I mean, and this whole COVID thing ended, it didn't end, but it ended the film business for sure, industry and the theater, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so slowly it's coming back and everyone's getting vaccinated in my line of work, happily. Everyone's staying safe and smart in my line of work, happily. And so to be so busy that I've been in both countries now, in Canada and America, because I'm both. I'm Canadian and American.
So you got that dual citizenship. Yes. You got that hookup.
That's the best of both worlds.
Hook up.
You can be American when you need to
Johnny,
be.
Johnny, Kevin, hook up.
And run up. You know, I'm out of here. I'm going north.
I'm out. I'm up there. Yeah.
That, sometimes before we get a guest, I'm like, I get nervous, especially if someone, you know, someone like you whose work I very much enjoyed. And I'm like, fuck. Like, I don't know if they're going to be normal. And then I didn't know you were Canadian. Did a little wiki search. Saw you from Saskatoon, right? Or you University of Saskatoon?
Saskatoon.
And I was like, oh, Canadians are normal as shit. This will be fucking fun.
I'll play some hockey for you guys right now.
Let's go, Kim. Let's go. We have pond hockey tournaments. You're invited from now on. Oh, promise.
Would you want to play in our tournaments? That's great.
Listen. First of all, yes.
Come on, lace
might
them
tune
up.
You up real
lace
quick.
Them
I'm a
up.
Very, very, Kev, I'm a very busy man. Jerry Bruckheimer, after I finished Black Hawk Down and Pearl Harbor back-to-back, Bruckheimer goes, okay, start coming out. Let's play some hockey. And I went, Jerry, I'm being honest with you. I take my equipment everywhere I go when I know I'm going to be able to play. I didn't want to let him down because I traveled so much. This is back in the client and water world, and I was traveling all. So, you know, I never really played with Jerry, but it was nice to get the invite.
Never mind. If you travel with your equipment everywhere, you might tune me up. I've had mine sitting in my bedroom for a year.
Who just – I mean, it's not like you travel with, you know, like a bat or something. You travel with your hockey equipment. That's a lot of shit, man, everywhere you go. You just got that 500-pound bag.
I don't take it everywhere I go. But when I know I might be able to get a game in Toronto or BC, I'll bring it along.
Now, I figure a lot of Hollywood actors and people in Hollywood don't really play much. So Bruckheimer surprised me. Are there any other people you played with who you'd be like, yeah, this guy can? Like Taylor Kitsch is the only other Canadian I know.
He can flat out play. There's a few of the boys from Canada that can play. Mike Myers loves to play. I mean, Jay Baruchel. Obviously, you know, we did Goon 1 and Goon 2 together, me and Jay. Jay's a big player. It surprises me every time I run into a Canadian that we talk hockey, and then I go, "You still got your CCM super tax? Still got your tax?
Still repping a Sherwood PMP out there? That's how I know I'm going to tune you up. That's how I'm going to tune you up, Kim."
You ever hit the ice with Bieber? He tries to pretend he knows how to play hockey.
No, he's a huge Leaf fan, as we know. And I have not met the Biebs yet. I've met his father. I did a beautiful voiceover for an incredible movie called The Watchmen a few years ago, and Justin's dad produced it. So he's a fan. I'm a fan. I mean, I'm a fan of Justin. I'd love to meet the kid, but no, I've never met him.
Who are you a fan of? Who's your team?
The Detroit Red Wings.
Oh! How'd that come about?
Gordie Howe was born 10 minutes from when my mom and dad raised me and my two little brothers, Dale and Dean. And I was a huge Leaf fan in grade one. I'm six. And, you know, all of a sudden I'm at school and my boys go, "Well, you know, Gordie Howe was born here." And I went, "What?" I go home. I said, "Dad, is that true?" He goes, "Get in the car." We get in the car. We drive like literally 10 minutes from our house to Floral, Saskatchewan. And there was Gordie's mom and dad's old clapboard house. And I've been a Wing fan ever since. But honestly, boys, I got to tell you, I'm a hockey fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just a fucking hockey fan. I know all these guys on so many different teams. Cogliano, Bix when he played with Chicago. I mean, Tane. I know all these guys. I know some of the Leafs now. And so when I get to travel, and Sons of Anarchy shot that whole, you know, before Sons, boys, right, I was like, "Oh, you're that guy from Waterworld. Oh, you're the guy from Open Range. Yeah. Oh, you're the..." Well, and then you do Sons, and you're going, "You're Kim Coates."
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea of the power of television, let alone a show that was so fucking good like that show. So I'm pretty lucky to meet a lot of boys along the way in professional sports and find out that they're fans and I'm fans of theirs.
We got
to
get you hooked up with the Chicklets guys.
Yeah.
We got a podcast over here called Spittin' Chicklets. We got Paul Bissonnette and Ryan Whitney, and they just dominate the NHL podcast world, and they have everybody
on. Love that.
They'd love to chop it up with anybody any celebs who like hockey are down with those guys.
Because you guys are unicorns. It's few and far. It's a small sport. We're trying to get it growing, Kim. But it is, as far as star power goes in hockey.
Let me ask you something. You know that term when people say, "Oh, that ship has sailed," that ship has sailed. And I go, "Well, you're 42 and you're a sports guy, but have you ever been to a hockey game? Oh, that ship has sailed. That's right."
No.
Really,
get on the fucking ship.
So come back, check it out. The world's getting better again. The whole COVID thing, it's getting better now. Touch wood. Come to a game and I'll show you a time.
No matter how big a person is of any sport, how big a fan of is any sport, if you take him to a hockey game, and they'll almost always, even like the diehard football fans, like the best in-game experience is hockey.
It's almost become cliche. Everyone says, like, "I'm not a big hockey fan, but I love it live." Yeah. Or better sport live and all that.
And you can get a ticket for $20.
I know.
Even sitting up in the upper deck. I almost prefer it sitting in the upper deck because you get to see the whole ice. You get a better view up there. You get a ticket for that $15-$20, no problem.
No, you're absolutely right. Where are you guys? Where are you?
We're in New York.
Right across from MSG, actually. Speaking of ice.
The city. I love the city. I was just there.
Yeah, you like New York?
Yeah, I love the city. If you don't love New York, I don't know where your pulse is. I don't know what's going on with you.
Well,
I'll tell you what it is.
I'll tell you what's going on with me. I'll tell you where my pulse is. It's like, you know, in my asshole because I've been fucking living in this godforsaken city for so long that I always say I gotta get the hell out of here, but I know I'm not going anywhere. My friends are here, my family's here, my whole life's here. I'm staying here, but I'm also like, get me out of here. So you can come and go. You get small doses.
I do, and we just filmed White House Plumbers. This one I just wrapped on last night. We filmed it in the Hudson Valley, Poughkeepsie, Beacon, right in that whole area, an hour and 20 minutes north of you guys. And the Hudson Valley, no wonder some of my boys have Bishami and some of these guys have moved to the Hudson Valley. It's just
so
beautiful
nice.
There.
Yeah.
And pieces of property, and you're out of the city, but you're close to the city. You know, if you're lucky enough to be able to have that kind of a situation, that's what a lot of the guys are doing now.
Yeah, that's the best. You get the best of both worlds. You kind of described, you know, I feel like you got the best of both worlds in movies and TV because you were lucky enough to do some of the big projects. You mentioned Waterworld and The Client, but then getting on to you, I feel like you got into TV right before, and then as Sons was so long, during the transition of television becoming important and respected. And, you know, I feel like it used to be like, oh, I do movies, I don't do the small screen. And then shows like yours and The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and a lot of those, like, epics made it like, oh, television is just as important. And now today I almost feel like it's, you know, more important roles. But I feel like Sons was one of the first shows to really begin that revolution.
For me, that's a really great point. For me, it really was The Sopranos. I'll never forget moving to L.A. full-time with my family, getting my green card. Now I'm a citizen happily and Canadian citizen, beautiful. And we moved to L.A. in 95, 96, and The Sopranos started just then. And that music and David Chase and Gandolfini, poor guy, gone now, but what a talent. That show changed it for everybody. Mm-hmm. So that show is like mid to late 90s. And then all of a sudden in that 2005, 6, 7, there was our show, Sons of Anarchy. There was Breaking Bad. There was The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, Mad Men. Mm-hmm. These cool, hip fucking cable shows mm-hmm. where all the actors were going, wait, that writing is
good.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
And I was that guy. I was that movie guy. I was that guy who did all these movies and guest stars. I guest starred on like CSI Miami and million fucking shows, had so much fun, but I didn't want to be a regular on a TV show. I want to keep that movie thing. No, actually, when Kurt Sutter said, would you please come and join the cast? And you said, yes, that was the greatest thing that you could have done, because the security you get from being on a TV show, the I don't know, 7 years, who knew that show was going to go on that long? So you're right. Everybody, there's no more line. Everybody's doing the best work they can with the best people, and much of it's in TV now.
Especially, I mean, like, you know, Disney is doing, you know, Marvel stuff where they're, like, unveiling characters on television shows instead of movies. Yeah. And it's not even – it's in a lot of ways bigger at the moment.
I would say it's absolutely – I think probably the last 10 years it's been a bigger thing.
Right.
You guys know this. And I don't want to be a hypocrite because I'm on them too, these big movies, these big Marvel movies and DC movies. They're massive movies, and God bless – great. But where's the Serpicos? Like, where's the Godfathers? Where's those incredible drama comedies? Now, comedies are big too, but in the cinema now, because they're so, they say for these kids, these teenagers into early 20s, we got to get, but this artistic film, that it's not a dying breed. We're still making them, but you can't get them in theaters. You just can't get them in theaters. So they go right to streaming. People catch them on streaming. They go to film festivals. Thank goodness for film festivals. Love those places. But I'm just a firm believer in you do your best work with the best writing, with the best people, and see who sees it. And if they do, good for us.
I mean, that's what Sons was, I feel like, too, for – you know, The Shield came right before it as well. I remember watching that. And then once Sons –
oh, yeah, man.
Sons was like, you know, for guys – it was, you know, it's everything. You know, how old was I then? That was like early
12,
early 2000s. It was.
It was mid 2000s.
Mid 2000s. Yeah, for Sons.
2007 to 2014.
Yeah, so I'm like graduating college, and starting my life, and like Sons was it's like, you know, a staple for me. It ran so long, and I mean everybody like. You know, everybody's like, who are you? Oh, you're like Jax, or you're like Tig, or you're like Clay. You know, it's one of those shows. And that's not a good – a lot of the times, no, there's no good answer, you know? Like, what do you mean I'm like that, you know? So, but Tig is one of the most memorable characters, you know, ever.
Thanks.
I was so into Sonny that I was – so I watched it live probably – I probably got on like season two or three, and then I moved in with a friend probably 2012 or 13.
This is unbelievable, Ken. This is ridiculous. Yeah.
And you guys had hit Netflix. And he'd never seen the show. I was like, we got to watch Sons. You've never seen Sons, you're crazy.
Yeah.
So we start Sons. But he had a real job. I had this bullshit job. So he would have to be in the office every morning at 8 a.m. So he'd go to bed at like 10, 11 o'clock. And I, you know, the Sons episode would end. And I'd be like, oh, I'm hooked. I got to watch the next one. So I'd watch like three or four more episodes while he was asleep. And then the next night, I'd rewatch those because I didn't have the heart to tell him I'd already seen them. And then he'd go to bed, and I'd watch the next three or four.
I mean, he watched the double, triple the series.
For a year straight. It's like insane. But
we've all heard about people like you. Now I finally am talking to one. Those ones that you watched four in a row one night, and your buddy didn't watch with your buddy. I haven't seen those yet. Let's watch it again.
100%. Dude, I've done that with significant others. I just lie. And I'm like, because I have no problem watching it again because I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
But if I tell you I saw it, you won't want to watch
bad,
it.
You don't want to do
so
it,
I just lie to you. I'm like, well, I haven't seen it.
You know the reason why I think that's
you can't. And sorry to interrupt, but, and of course, Theo Rossi, who plays Juice, called me up a year ago and said, come on, let's do a podcast. Sons, let's review the shows. And I went, no, you're crazy. We don't have time. Well, we're over a year into it. It's called Theory, Theory Pod. It's on Patreon. It's on YouTube. It's every Apple, iTunes. It's killing it like you guys. We're just fucking killing it. And we're talking about the show, boys. And here we are. You know, he's over there. I'm right here. We don't know much about. We were in every fucking episode, but we didn't watch them all. We watched a third of them.
Sure.
So here we are doing our podcast, reviewing the show. I know The Sopranos are doing it. You know, a bunch of big shows like that are doing it, where the actors are coming back to. And we're knuckleheads because we forget stuff. So we've got to watch the show and write down the notes and write down what we observed and stuff. And it's so much fun. That show, man. It got so violent.
Oh, it was so crazy. That's what I was going to say. The reason why it's rewatchable, it does have great writing and, you know, like in-depth character arcs, but then it's got the, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
We can't say things now the way we said things then.
No, you cannot.
And so to go back into a chunk of history and hear, we can't say that today.
Yeah, no. But
back then you could.
Absolutely.
And that's the way these guys talked back then. But I got to tell you, we love each other. We see each other all the time. And that was Sons, man. I'll never forget it. People go to me, oh, are you sorry that it's over? And I go, no, look at my hair. I've had no sleep. Fucking. Anyway, they go, you know, do you miss it? And I go, no, but I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that. We were exhausted by the end. We were exhausted.
It's such a great testament, though, because you have to be a great show. You mentioned Sopranos. There's The Office. I think Veep is doing it. You have to be a upper echelon show to be able to run a podcast about the show.
Yeah.
And so it's such a great testament to the work you guys did, to the work Soda did, to the fan base.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, to have that, to have fans still years later clamoring for any little bit of content they can get from that show is impressive as hell.
Are you doing it just one by one?
The show?
Yeah, like
we start first three seasons, we bounced all over, all over. We just had the fans write in. As the show started to explode, do season 2, episode 12 with you and the dog. That was, or do season 3 when you kill Stahl, and oh my God. But then Theo and I realized that these incredible fans that we, and I'm sure you guys have the same, these fans that come along for this ride, They kind of want to go in order.
Yeah.
They kind of want to. And so starting on season 4, which is like the 40th episode, Theo and I are doing them strictly in order. Season 4, show 1, show 2, show 3. So we're right now season 5, episode 11. And oh my God, it's crazy.
Have you, I don't remember what season or episode it was, but have you done the episode with Damon Pope yet with your daughter? And you
at you, bro. You're all over it. This is season 5. Okay. Yeah, we did the one where my daughter.
I mean, that to me is. I've talked about that many times on podcasts, or when people say you got to pick one scene from a movie that you stuck with me.
Love you
in a bad way, though. Like, holy shit! But I thought your performance in that.
I mean, you can't.
For Kurt to like write that story, like this is how she's gonna die. To do it on camera, there was no cutaways. And then the way you acted in that scene is fucking. Is that crazy to watch back, or are you just thinking about it as an actor, or is that like tough to see?
It's always rough to watch, but I just remember when Kurt Sutter told me how season 5 was going to open, and what we were going to do, and how it was going to go down. I really didn't believe him at first, but I couldn't waste any time. So when I got the script, I had about 3 weeks before we were filming it. So I went right across the street. Where I live in LA, I got a therapist buddy, and he gets paid in beautiful bottles of red wine. And I sit down with him, and I go over shit with the human condition once in a while. And he looked at this whole 5-page, 8-page dealio, and he just like, he sat back in his chair and went, okay, well, here we go.
Yeah.
And that whole fight or flight, the panic, the physicality of being chained like an animal, it's your daughter and how she went in front of your eyes. So I channeled my own daughters. I'm blessed to have two daughters. My point is that I stayed in downtown LA, a beat up motel, FedEx paid for it. FX paid for it. And I didn't go home. I lost my voice. It was very emotional. That show started off season 5. So that whole season and then it culminates with me and Pope at the last, which we're going to talk about in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought Tig was going to go.
Yep.
That was his time. Charlie sold him out. Jack sold him out. It's fucking over. I went to Detroit. I don't want to give too much of this away because you guys have listened by millions of people. I'm going to tell it on my own podcast, but I went to Vegas and they showed that final show in front of all these people. And we made a lot of money for charity. They flew me in and I went up to the front in front of these 100 people, beautiful people. And I said, thanks for coming to what could be my last supper. Thanks for coming. And everyone went, no. And then they watched the show with me behind them. And as that show went along, they kept turning around like, is he going to fucking die? Anyway, that's what that show had. And thanks for bringing that up, because that was an incredibly difficult but beautiful. As an actor, you want to be stretched. And I certainly was stretched on this little action royale that I know we're going
to
talk about.
Yeah, let's get to it, because we were just looking at the trailer, and it's very cutting edge on Snapchat and on.
It's like, almost like what we were just saying with where you kind of you were there at the birth of the transition to TV from movies to TV. Do you think that we're kind of going in that way to phones,
ahead of the curve again?
Can I talk to you every day? That is so fucking smart. Yes, I do. I'm going to tell you why. I'm a geezer. I'm a dinosaur. I've got between, 3 and 5 Harleys in my garage. Figure that out. I've got a muscle car. I like bank tellers. I hate machines. I'm a dinosaur. I'll tell you, when I walked on set for Action Royale, and we were supposed to do it last August, but the COVID thing kept pushing it and pushing it. Finally, we got it in February, March of this year. And Jacob Motes had me on his team over at Snapchat since last year, and I couldn't wait to get going. I walk on set, and there are the monitors. You guys are smart enough to know what a monitor is. The monitors are usually like our computer screen. They're big-ish, and the DPs look at them, and the directors look at them. And if you're an actor and you want to see how pretty you are, you go and you watch their playback. Their monitors were this.
Yeah.
Phone.
I bet, yeah.
They were a phone. And they were bigger than a phone. And so, because we knew that we were going to show it vertically on a phone. And so that cutting edge new, and you saw the trailer, I'm telling you guys right now, I sound just like an energizing bunny. Jacob Motes, what he did, and Igor and Maria, the directors, what they've done and how they've edited these 10 little beautiful episodes. It's so fast. It goes by like that. My character, you know, Nikki Hamilton and Haley Hecking and Sean McGuire and me, we're the four leads. I play this mafioso, bookie, gardening enthusiast. You do not want to come close to me when I've got my shears in my hands. Mm-hmm. And the shit that Nick, as Trilby, gets involved in this show, and it happens so quick about gaming. It's gaming. You guys know this. Gaming is huge right now.
Awesome, yeah.
And you know, I'm not a gamer, but I've certainly run into a lot of people who are. And Haley, who plays the lead Reggie in this with Nick, like I said, she's a gamer. Not only a brilliant actress, but she's a gamer. And to watch them and the speed that goes along with it. And Jacob wanted to make this show not about gaming, but about the characters mm-hmm. who are involved in gaming. Mm-hmm. We never see a video game on this show, but boy, do you see us playing them. Do you see the lights coming, hitting their faces? And then, oh, wow, Sean McGuire, plays Pops. He's got a gambling addiction. He's got a problem. He owes a lot of money to me. And then
not
his
a person
son,
you want to owe it
I was
to.
Gonna say not you. You had an intimidation factor to you, brother. That you don't want to be fucked up.
I wouldn't even ask you for money for a coffee. I don't know.
My mom was like, so how many people did you kill in this one? You make it past the first 20 minutes in this one, Kim? God love my mom, but yeah, you don't want to fight around with me in this show. It's so brilliant.
Do you have to change how you go about acting and your craft, if you will, to because of the cameras and how the monitors and screens are set up?
No, not really. But I got to tell you, I was very conscious of how close the cameras were all the time. We had some beautiful masters, but damn it, boys, when it's for your phone and the lenses, these Sony cameras with these lenses that Igor and Maria have, I look really good.
Isn't that the best when someone takes?
I don't know what they're doing.
That's movie magic. That's what that is.
It's Snapchat freaking magic, bro. And it goes quick.
Yeah, maybe they're using a filter. It's not you. It's just a filter on your face. Yeah. You're ugly.
So, and it goes by quick. You know, they always say,
how
all
long
these kids,
are we talking?
Attention span. Huh?
How long are we talking? You said it goes by quick. Is it?
There's 10 episodes, and they're all about 5, 6, 7 minutes long each. Man,
That's where it's at right now. That's the world, you know. It's,
how has that happened, boys?
I think, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, I'll always certainly love to sit down and watch a 2-hour or like a 3-hour epic. But for everyday entertainment and consumption, those little bits, those little clips they hit, man, it's just the way, just where the world has gone.
I also think it used to be more that way, and then we kind of we went over the top with movies and film and TV shows. We're like, I think we talk about with documentaries. Every documentary is a 10-episode series now.
That's too long.
Like, who was it? It was one of the kids at work. He was telling me he watched Children of the Corn the other night. Mm-hmm. It's an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
right.
Get to the point.
Last night I watched Jake Gyllenhaal and The Guilty on Netflix. Hour and a half. Anything that doesn't take a ton of time, I'll never say is bad.
Right.
Because the longer you take of my time, the higher the criticisms go.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you wasted
time. Yeah, that's very true. And the world's very fast right now. I mean, it's slowed down because of this pandemic. There's no doubt about it. We need to reflect. We need to see what we're doing to this mother nature and the earth and everything. There's things going on for a reason. But I got to tell you, in entertainment, nothing slows down. It is. I mean, those one game, like the Yankees and the Red Sox, we were filming nights, but we have this crew here in HBO. It's massive. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a little phone on in the background, kind of. And last night, the Dodgers and St. Louis. I mean, it's one game. Strap on your seatbelts. It's one game. I hate it personally. I think it's not enough. But whatever it is, it is. And it's one game.
Did you see the clip of Scherzer afterwards?
No.
Scherzer just couldn't speak. He was the drunkest person I've ever seen in my life.
He couldn't speak.
Couldn't speak English. Hammer. And he just goes, I'm drunk, whatever. And just like takes his things off. That's got to be such a tough moment for an athlete. And I'm sure you've probably run into situations like this, like on a red carpet or something like that, where you realize you might have had one or two too many.
Like, oh,
you're
no.
Like, oh, fuck, I got to go do interviews now, son of a bitch.
No, not really me, but I got to watch out for my wife. Diana told me. Diana was told years and years and years ago, when she realized, "Oh no, my husband's turning into one of those celebrity guys who's in all these big shows, and I have to go to these red carpet." Her knees are knocking, and she's beautiful, and how she's still with me is a miracle. Her knees are just knocking, but someone told her, Diana, a couple of glasses of Chardonnay in the limo
before you
get out. It's a really good idea. She just rocks it now. She's a little bit. Feeling good rocks it.
It's my kind of woman right there.
You got to keep her,
brother. Yeah.
So we've been married 35 years, man. It's kind of a record in Hollywood.
Yeah, for real. Gross. That's you know, Hollywood relationships are like dog years. 35 years, like 200 years. I won't take up too much more of your time, but I did want to ask you, because we did bring up The Sopranos and some of these other shows. They just did the prequel for Many Saints in Newark, and I know that, you know, there's been Mayans and spinoffs and whatnot with Sons, but has there ever been any chatter of any sort of prequel, sequel, reunion, movie, spinoff, whatever, beyond Mayans? I know a lot of people didn't survive the show, but the ones that did, is there talk?
Yeah, there has been, and I gotta tell you, like, Tommy Flanagan, who played Chibs, and me, Tig, we were the only two leads that survived that show. Mm-hmm. All the other eight were gone. They're gone. Sorry, spoiler alert, but too bad.
Yeah, that's on you at this point if you haven't seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, too bad. Anyway, we're the only two leads. So they thought, what can we? And then the Mayans came along real quick. They got on Tommy, you know, came on as a president. I've always made this known to anyone who wants to listen that I will come back as somebody. But it's all about the writing for me. Mm. I'm not just going to go to say hi, to sit on a chair, to smoke a cigarette and have three lines just to come back. That I have no interest. But if they wanted to do a camera move in a back alley, and it's the last show of season three, and it's moving down the back alley, and it comes up over a gnarly dog, and there's a kitchen, And there's a back, and it says Sons of Anarchy on the back of a Reaper. And it's me with my fucking hair throwing a beer bottle against the wall. And Tommy's yelling at me because we have to do something. And then the show ends, and then you start next season with four or five shows, just an arc. Then call me. But unless it's something like that, I have no. So listen.
You just wrote it, bro.
As you say, as the picture you just painted, I'm in. Let's be go. Clear about
yeah,
that.
Right?
Let's
I mean, right?
Sign up
I
Kurt,
mean,
sign up somebody, and let's make no, that and exact everyone, scene.
No, and everyone talked about that, but I think The Mines was big for everybody at FX, and it should be. It's its own show. It's its own thing. And so we wish them all the best on that. But as far as a prequel or me and Tommy coming back or DL or any of these guys, who knows? I'm a freaking working actor, boys, and this gnarly face, it's worked out. And to be on something like Action Royale, for me, to do something different with all these incredible, the brand that the kids are watching, these teenagers, and this show has adult themes in it. And Jacob was saying this the other day so beautifully, that this show, oh yeah, it's for teenagers, it's for young college kids, but it's for adults too, because it's got adult themes.
Yeah.
That's never been done before. And it's so... I'm just so, it's so good. They just did such a great job. I can't wait to show
you. That's October awesome. 9th, right? Saturday?
Saturday, yeah, the 10th of October. Here we go. And then they drop one every 2 days.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. So right, cut right to the chase. Every 2 days, starting Saturday, Action Royale on Snapchat. It's a thriller, man. It seems like it's going to be a wild roller coaster ride. So good for you. Congratulations. Thanks for Suns. Everybody tune into the – if you are a Suns fan, go along with him and Theo and do the recap on Theory. And we appreciate the time, man.
Boys, this has been so fun.
Kim,
honestly, please have me on again. Come on, let's talk once every 2 or 3 months.
We'll have you on, and next time you're in New York, make sure you have your hockey stuff with you. We'll see you on the ice.
I'll have my people call your people, and the people call them, and then we'll call each other.
Take care of it.
Have a good one, brother.
See you, Kim.
Love you. Thanks, boys. Love you too, bud.